What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 6:01 on this Tuesday night. Hope y'all are having a good one as we settle in for the evening, leaving work, heading home, heading out, whatever you're doing. Hope you get to hang with us tonight. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock as we run for 4 hours this evening with a lot to talk about, obviously. And Tyler Zuli is here as well. He'll have the leftovers for you at 9:45. So we'll get to so many things this evening, have a little fun side stuff for you as we continue to talk about the 76ers, mix in the Eagles as well, and dive into it all. Yesterday we did a big, basically a state of the 76ers after looking at the offseason, after talking about what they did to end the season, the playoffs, how things finished up for them. Very disappointing, as we all know, for many of us who were hoping for them to advance much further than they actually did. And we all were there. Whether you disagreed with how far they would actually get versus wanting them there, we all wanted to see them do well and get to a place where we haven't seen them in, since, what, 2001, and that's getting past the second round of the NBA playoffs. But here we are once again talking about the offseason and all the changes and adjustments that need to be made to this roster. Yesterday we spoke about how 1 through 4 you have ideas of who those players are in the starting lineup, from Embiid to Harden, Harris, and Maxey. You have an idea. Do you trust them all? Maybe not on the same level, but you know what they are. You know what you're going to get. You know they're all starters, or at least I still believe Tyrese Maxey is a starter, where some would like, maybe if you pick up another body, a star player, we'll get to that, that you would look at then maybe bringing him off the bench. I am not there. I maintain that I want him to be a starter going forward. I get the idea, the luxury of having him as a reserve, but I'm not there. Nevertheless, talking about the top four, you know what you have. We also mentioned 5 through 17, not really having a really good clue of who's going to be back next season, who should be back next season, and what they do from there for the offseason to make this more of a complete, balanced basketball team and improve the roster overall. So as we talked about all of that, we got into a bunch of things, from the four players, the bench, other players around the league that maybe you would like to see come into Philadelphia, but more positionally, more stylistic of what this team needs to do in the offseason. And that brings us to tonight, as we focus a little bit on that top four, the main story of the offseason. And that's James Harden. When we spoke about him last night, bringing up the top four, Tobias Harris, not sure if he's going to be back. He has 2 years on his deal. His contract is no longer terrible because he has 2 years left, close to $80 million, but it's movable. So that's one thing that we discussed, that knowing that where they are at this point, they may have to move him because he is the most tradable piece that you have outside of Tyrese Maxey, who's not going anywhere, in my opinion. Ben Simmons is gone. He was your biggest tradable piece. Now it's Tobias Harris because of the 2 years left and trying to figure out how you can add bodies with the lack of funds that the 76ers currently have. So with that, the other part was James Harden as the number two player, we think. But with that number two player that we're talking about in James Harden, what we don't know is how much money is he going to have returning to the 76ers next season on the books. What is this contract situation going to look like? What are they going to do? Did they have an agreement in place? Is he already going to be stuck here for a few more years because they had a handshake agreement, a deal between Maury and Harden, and he has to keep his word, kind of like Larry Brown telling Larry Hughes that he was going to take him no matter what if he was there, even though other players that probably should have been taken, Paul Pierce at that time. Is it that kind of thing that is here, a handshake agreement on an extension? When asked at the end of the game, post-game, on that Thursday night after Miami eliminated Philadelphia, James Harden was asked by the media, what are you going to do about the contract situation, all that stuff? He said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that this team is in a good place to compete as a great team. And he's going to make sure that he does his part to make it easier on the franchise. He has no reason to do that, in my opinion. So I will believe it when I see it. Right now, I'm thinking he's money motivated. He's going to want to get the best payday that he possibly can, because this is probably going to be the last one that he gets at a big number for a player that is a top 75 player, still an all-star, Hall of Famer, has done everything except for win, but I believe he's still money motivated. My opinion, that's just me. I don't know anything. That's where I'm, what I'm saying. So with that, and you look at the projection of where they are right now with their money and how they need to go about this thing. So yesterday I did say this, and I'll start here. I am not, if I'm in charge, which I am not, but if I were, and if Daryl Morey is listening, Elton Brand, Tad Brown, I am not giving him a long-term extension. I'm not. I can't. Not after what I saw. Oftentimes, and we said this last night when Dan Fritz was in here producing, Tyler and I always talk about this. How did it happen? So going into it, I wasn't necessarily saying I'm giving him $200 million on a 4 or 5 year extension to return to the 76ers. What we were doing was saying, I want to see how he plays out. I like the numbers. I like what he did in the postseason as far as his numbers go. I like what he did in the first three games of the Toronto Raptors series. And then, of course, you get the closeout in game six. I like what I saw from James Harden statistically as for what I want from a point guard for this basketball team. Far too long we were talking about it. What do we want from a point guard? And what can they do to make sure that this team is better? The most recent being Ben Simmons. But we always wanted a backup point guard to make sure that you had some help there as a secondary ball handler, if not in the starting lineup, but someone you could trust coming off the bench. Last season, it was George Hill. A few years there, it was TJ McConnell, who handled the ball quite a bit. Jimmy Butler came in, did a fantastic job of being the other player in the starting unit to make sure that he had the ball in his hands to help out in that way, to make sure things ran a little more smoothly as they went about things. But here are James Harden's numbers through 12 games of the postseason, playing 40 minutes on average. 18.6 points per game, 8.6, 5 assists, 5.7 rebounds, and 4 turnovers a night. Obviously, that cannot happen. Then you go to his shooting splits, which were 13 shots a night, making 40% of those just field goals. 6 three-point attempts, 36.8, so he was basically at the league average, 37% on 6 tries a night. Free throws, 89%, no problem there. Two-point percentage, he is taking per game 7 on 44% shooting for James Harden. That needs to improve as a guard to make sure he makes those better percentage shots inside the three-point line. Needs to improve the three-point shooting, even though he's average right there. I can't complain too much about it because it's an average. We think of him as an average, a better-than-average three-point shooter. I hope what that would improve because I do think he's going to be back. But for this exercise, for this conversation, him being the number one story of the offseason for this team, we have to talk about much more. But when you look at the point guard position and what he did, his numbers are not bad. But it always goes to the numbers are not bad. Let's look at the eye test too. The 8.6 assists, those are legit. He can still break down a defense, get into the paint, find teammates, whether out there on the perimeter, where he still sucks in the defense, or underneath the basket for easier buckets. Joel Embiid, Matisse Thybulle backdoor for those easy layups. Tyrese Maxey in the open floor, the kick ahead, his vision. It's very, very good. Very, very good. So those are legit. His 18.6, that's legit too. It is. The rebounding, legit. He does get in there. But the shooting percentages, of course, have to improve. Now, as a point guard, that's what you ask for. That's what you're going to get. You know he can explode for more points. It's just also the assists that are there that are different than we saw from the previous point guard, where a lot of them were sprayed out to the perimeter for those open shots outside the three-point line. Nothing wrong with those. That's what today's NBA game is. But for Harden, the thing that he does well is penetrate, get to the middle of the paint, get in that area where they have to commit to potentially making a decision to defend him because he is so good in that in the paint and finishing, or has been, that he still has that respect where they close out on him. He dumps the ball off, he gets in easier buckets, all those things. So those things are legit. But what we don't know, obviously, is, number one, was he really hurt? Was he really banged up with the hamstring, that was a carryover effect from his Brooklyn days to Philadelphia, where he played through it? With him playing through it, he was only going to have but so much lift, so much burst, so much quickness, because, let's call it like it is, folks, the hamstring, that's not an easy thing to come from, number one, in season. That's almost impossible to come back from and be completely healthy in season with a hamstring injury. Then you go to the calf. That was also a problem of his that was treated. And was that still something that was lingering as well? I'm not making excuses. I'm talking about the things that we know for a fact that were there. Did this hamper him throughout the remainder of the season and going into the postseason? With all of those things, the numbers are still the numbers, though. His importance of who he is for this basketball team will be there. He is your number two player. Maxey, Harris, fantastic, but they were not really your number two players. Harden is looked at as your number two player. He is your other all-star on this basketball team. Whether you like it or not, that's who he is. So as we look at him and we look at the number, let's start with the $47 million player option to opt back in and pick up that number. He can opt in, pick up that 47, and still negotiate an extension. As I stated a few minutes ago, if I'm making the decision, which I am not, which you are not, but I still want to talk to you about it, that's where I am most comfortable. I am more comfortable with him picking up that option of $47 million. Yes, that's a bunch of money, too much money. But that's where we are. There's nothing you can do about that. He can pick it up. Probably not going to get any money higher than that on the open market. So that's where you're going to have to live, and you're going to have to accept it for what it is. Fine. I wanted the trade to happen. When they did it, I was fine with it, even though how did it happen during the season and the postseason? I didn't love everything, but I accept the $47 million. Folks, when you think about the other part of it, which is potentially looking at a four-year extension, $200+ million, a three-year extension, still at big money, after what I saw and liking the numbers as a point guard, getting ready for this season of 22-23, knowing he'll be here for an entire year, and especially starting things off with the training camp and the preseason, picking up the entire offense through that time, coming in with a full understanding of what Doc Rivers wants from James Harden as a point guard for his basketball team, I am only comfortable right now with him picking up that option. I want no parts, zero, of giving him a long-term extension of anything more than the 1 year. That's where I currently am with him, just because of how we saw things, how it played out. I no longer want to see him here long term today, based on everything that we saw, the injury thing, not knowing the full answer to whether he was hurt or not. I can't sit here after everything that this team has been through, after everything that we spoke about throughout this entire season, once the trade was executed, the postseason, everything we discussed yesterday, and looking at this team from way back when they started to rebuild to where they are right now, I can't in good faith sit there and look at it and say, I am okay with giving him more than the 1 year of what he gave the Sixers last season. Because look, if they had more space and more flexibility with what they were able to do with money in the offseason and going out there and just simply fully doing something to go and make a decision of how to improve the basketball team, where his money was not involved, I would be perfectly fine with not bringing him back at all. But that's not an option unless he is traded, unless he doesn't pick up that option there. That's not an option for the Sixers. So as a result, I have to take that 47 and like it and deal with it. Everything else, though, I want nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with giving him anything further than the 1 year that he is going to pick up, because he should. I'm not doing anything else and giving him any money, any more money than that right now. I need to see more from him. He's going to be 33 years of age next season, and I don't know what I'm going to get. A lot of times he looked disinterested, and we saw the second half performances where we were all frustrated discussing things with him. I can't have that on my basketball team if he's not going to give it a go. I know what we saw from afar. I was fine with them making the change. They needed to make the change. We don't know if they made the right change, if this was the only change that they could have made during the deadline to make another trade for Tyrese Halliburton and all these other names that we talked about and read about and heard about throughout that entire time. I cannot give him anything more than the 47. What are they going to do? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because as a general manager, as an executive in this league, it is up to Daryl Morey to do what's right by this basketball team. And if he has made a decision already and giving him a long-term extension based on a handshake agreement, instead of doing what Tyler and I always talk about, how did it happen? Well, how did it happen? Things changed based on what we actually saw. It was all great. We were all feeling good. Most of us were feeling good about, oh man, finally they moved on from Simmons. We saw a few games from Joel Embiid, and James Harden, Maxey, and how good things really looked. We saw it all. And then we saw the other part. And the other part was not that great. Really good. Some good stuff there. But then what? Then what? So here's what he actually has. He has a $47.4 million player option for next season as part of that trade deal that went down in February. The most he can make at this time right now is a 5-year deal working it out to about $270 million. There is no way in the world I am giving him 5 years, $270 million. The cap projection right now for next season is at $122 million as it stands right now. $42.7 million of a starting salary for Harden with 10 years of experience. That's where things begin for him when you start to talk about the percentage raises, the caps, and all those things. He made $44 million this past season. He can sign a new deal that can begin at 46.5. And as I look at this story, it breaks it down much, much better than I probably ever could from Danny LaRue of The Athletic. He can start at 46.5. He says, even though that is well over the 35% max with the 76ers starting salary, with 8% annual raises work out to about 5 years, $269.9 million contract. On his contract. So right now, again, how did it happen? It didn't happen all that great, Daryl Morey. So with that, things have to change. Now, I can't sit here and say I know, because I don't. But what I can also sit here and say is I cannot believe that after what they saw, the agreement that they made to get him out of Brooklyn, and you know things go on back door. So someone was talking to him. They made this agreement, all that stuff. Him saying publicly, even though I don't know him well enough to believe it or not believing it, but he's made a lot of money. and I saw the body language on the floor. I didn't like it a lot of times. I'm imagining that he would still want a nice payday, even though he's making over $200 million over a 10-year span with Adidas with that contract that he has. He's not hurting, but I'm sure he still want more. There are reports out there that they are talking about maybe him taking less, maybe opting into that 47, or then working out something, taking less. And with him taking less, that now they're going to be able to have that maneuverability. That was something that was talked about when he arrived in his first press conference with Paul Millsap that they had. That he, remember the reports came out that he was not picking up the option and he was going to sign a shorter term deal. And they were going to be able to bring in somebody else in the offseason. Bradley Beal's name was tossed around. You still don't know what other disgruntled player may want out of their situation coming into town. So now the reports as of yesterday are that they're still basically superstar hunting out there. And they are going to do everything that they can to try to acquire another big name to go along with Embiid and Harden and potentially Maxey if he stays and Harris as well. Who knows who that player is. But until that stuff happens, and we look at it as is on its face right now, he gets nothing more from me than 47 right now on the 1 year. Until we know what other moves are going to be made, what other moves are going to be executed, nothing more from me than that. I am not comfortable with it. I saw what he did, good things offensively. But I also saw some of the bad things with this basketball team, with him being a part of it. So that's where we begin. 610-632-0975. What do you do with James Harden? What are you comfortable with the Sixers giving him in the offseason money-wise? Do you just want him to opt in and take his $47.4 million? Or are you comfortable with him going shorter term? 2 years, 3 years, four even, maybe five. I'm curious where you are. Tyler, I think, is on the other side. And when we come back on the other side, I'll bring Tyler in, get his thoughts on what he's comfortable with, and then we'll go from there. We'll talk about the Birds later, finally, because I have not had a chance to address their schedule. We'll do that. And we'll also have a little fun tonight with the side topic. We'll tell you what those are on the other side. 610-632-0975. What are you comfortable with the Sixers doing with James Harden this offseason? Maybe you're saying you hope he doesn't come back. Share that as well. We'll talk about it when we get back right here on this Tuesday night. Hope you had a good day. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. 97.5 The Fanatic, 632. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you until 10. Tyler Zuli's here. The 6 o'clock hours brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, James Harden, $47.4 million. That's where I'm comfortable. That's my comfort level of picking up his extension. I'm good with that. And that's really as far as I'm willing to go right now for your second star of this basketball team. There again is an argument for Tyrese Maxey or even Tobias Harris if you want to stretch it that far as well, just to see exactly where things are right now. That's where I am. That's where I'm living. That's where I'm comfortable. 47.4. I don't want to give him an extension right now, because when we look at these contracts and you say, oh, well, Devon, he might be tradable, 3-year contract. You can trade him in a couple of seasons. I don't know that. I don't know that. I don't know that his body might just give out on him. How do I know? Because I listen to things, I read things, and maybe they have agendas, but they also were around him much, much more than we have been for, what, 3 months of James Harden? To know that if I hear where they start talking about he loves basketball, he loves all that stuff, but he doesn't take care of his body enough, where we think it's going to be like a Chris Paul thing where he can still play through the age 37. Changing his diet. Changing all those things. I don't know that. Or maybe he could be a freak and doesn't need to do any of that stuff and just needs to heal up and recover from the hamstring. He talked about it. Two full seasons now he has played dealing with this. If you remember, he dealt with this the first year with Brooklyn, and he dealt with it coming into this year with Brooklyn. He played through it. He got hurt in the playoffs, and there was nothing he could do about it. He tried. He couldn't play. He was a liability out there on the floor. They could not play him anymore. And we remember Milwaukee finally knocked off the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs because of Kevin Durant's big toe on a three-point line that would have won him the game. Went into overtime. They win the game. James Harden tried in that series, if you remember, and you watched it. They had a shortened off season because they wanted to get back to the regular NBA schedule. As a result, not a lot of time again to heal up from that hammy. And then Kyrie Irving can't play, so he has to play more minutes. All that. If that's still a big deal there, I commend him from playing through it. My hamstring, Tyler knows, my hamstring has been bothering me a little bit for like 3 weeks after I played the last time. And it hurts, and I don't get around-the-clock treatment except for my own stretching that I always do because of my knee anyway. The hammy, as we know, is not it's not anything to mess around with. So maybe that's a part of it. I don't know. He's going to have a full offseason to heal up and get right, and I hope he takes it seriously. I hope he gets his body right. I don't know him like Pat Beverly does, who has been all over ESPN, and we'll get into him shortly. And when he says he is going to get his body right, I know him. He feels like he's being disrespected. When he does, he's going to come back and he's going to be James Harden. I don't know that. And I can't sit there and believe Patrick Beverly either, because sometimes he just simply sounds crazy, even though I like the guy. So, what do you want to do with James Harden? Where's your comfort level of the 76ers bringing him back as far as his contract situation goes? 610-632-0975. Before we get to Mid and Ron and Phil and everybody else that's there, Rob and everybody there, Tyler, I think we differ on this. Good evening.
Hello. It's good to be back with you.
You too, man.
We're going to have
been a while.
Yeah, and we're going to have these conversations a lot over the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And I said this weekend that I'm not quite ready to move on just yet, because I was, Saturday specifically, I was infuriated.
You should have been.
Because, you know, game six was what it was, and we know how they bailed out, and obviously it makes me feel a little bit better. Sorry, I'm going to apologize in advance for saying this. It makes me feel a little bit better that the Sixers weren't the only ones who got kind of steamrolled in their closeout game.
Right.
I'm sorry in advance.
That's okay.
But yep, it makes me feel better that they're not the only ones. So, with that being said, I do think that we can start to begin to move on a little bit. And you're right, we do differ on this. And it's not that we differ on an aspect of, like, I think he should get the max, because I do not believe that. And I do not believe that any team is going to offer him a max contract or close to it. But where I change from you is that I do believe that some team will offer him a large amount of money.
Yes, like, and I do not.
Like a large amount of money to all of us, like us regular, everyday working class people. To the max large amount of money, it will not be that. It will fall substantially short of that.
Mm-hmm.
But where you say the only thing you feel comfortable doing is allowing him to opt into the player option, and you deal with the $47 million up front and 1 year, I feel more comfortable doing something where it is a 3-year deal worth, let's say, $100 million.
Okay.
And I know that that's still a lot of money, but compared to the 5 for $250 that he could be under the guys to command, it is a substantially cheaper deal. Not just years, not just money, but the money per year, it's like 16, 17, and upwards of like $20 million less, mm-hmm, by the end of year three compared to what it would be with the max deal. I think that I'm comfortable giving to Harden, because I think that if you don't, except for, again, under the guise that he's going to opt into the player option, another team will. Not the 250, but I could see a team being willing to go 3 for $120.
But is that their problem? That's their problem if they want to go there because
sure.
I'm unwilling to go there.
Well, sure, and that's where you and I differ is I'm not, maybe not the 120, but I could do 3 for $100, you know, 3 for $90, 3 for $100. Well, kind of similar to the Kyle Lowry contract.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that the hype of Kyle Lowry going into the season or going into that contract was substantially higher than the hype of James Harden coming into this contract because of the way that, you know, the recency bias of what we've seen from him. But I am willing to go to take that step and not go all the way to the 250 and the max and all that, but go a step further than you, which is just that player option, and that's that.
Well, that's where I am, and I looked at this one really fast from Danny LaRue that I mentioned and stating that he gave a hypothetical of 5 years, $175 million. So he's $35 million per season. I'm not doing that.
See, you know what scares me?
I'm not doing
more
that.
Than the money, the years. And we talked about it, you know, when he was brought in here, that if you're going to have to sign him to the max extension, you're just going to have to eat the money and eat the years at the back end because it is what it is, as long as you've expedited an opportunity to win a championship in the first two or three. Now that we know what we've seen, the years do start to worry me a little bit, and I don't think I can do five. I can definitely do three. I'm not sure, so sure I can do four. I definitely cannot do five.
Yeah, I'm not willing to do any of those. That's just me. What about you? You heard Tyler. We disagree there. I don't think any of the other 29 teams are going to go near him with that kind of money just because who is he? He doesn't have that same type of star power anymore to do that. So who is he? Who is he? Do we have our answer? Is this who he is? Is there something better at this point for James Harden as a basketball player? Or is it just this? All right, your thoughts, 610-632-0975. Again, 610-632-0975. That's Tyler Zuli. I'm Devon Givens. We're with you until 10. Talk about the Birds a little bit later as well and get into a few other things with the Phillies as we go along throughout the night. Also, we have our side topic that we'll have a little bit of fun with because tonight is the NBA Draft Lottery in the National Basketball Association as the conference finals gets underway. And we had a lot of experience, didn't we, folks? A lot of experience with the draft lottery, being excited about the draft lottery dating all the way back to, 2012 when they decided to move on from Drew Holiday. Nerlens Noel was the number 6 overall pick. Then you had the extra selection at 11. They take Michael Carter Williams, some other good players there. But, of course, the key piece was Giannis, but nobody knew that. I'm not even putting that one on Sam Hinkie at 15 to take Giannis. CJ McCollum went number 10, a spot before Michael Carter Williams. They could have moved up, taken CJ, done something like that, and, you know, given up one of their 58 picks just to move up a spot to get that player instead of Michael Carter Williams because they traded Carter Williams so fast. And by the way, they never even worked out CJ McCollum back then. But my point is, we had a lot of experience over the years leading up to the start of the playoffs for the Sixers in the 17 season. So we wanted to ask you as we talk about this with James Harden as part of, you know, Anthony and Drew talking about it earlier about the rebuild and all that stuff. And by the way, you know, I think the rebuild was over 5 years ago. Once they made the playoffs, that's it.
The what?
Done.
The what?
The rebuild.
Ah, okay.
Yes, done. 5 years ago. No more. We can't keep extending it. It has been done. They made the playoffs 5 years ago. They're a 50-win team. That's been done. That being said, we wanted to ask you all, as the NBA draft lottery is tonight setting up for next month's draft, the 2022 draft for these nice young players coming in. What were we going to say, Ty? What was the worst?
I think you can just phrase it as the biggest miss.
I was about to say, what was the worst miss that they've had? So the biggest miss that they had through all of the rebuild picks, the biggest miss, legitimate ones, not trades of, let's say, start it right off, not trading 3 for $1 and moving up and taking Jason Tatum. Let's just assume the Sixers were still at number three because they weren't going to do it for respect reasons, right? And making that deal, they weren't going to take Tatum at number one. Even though you could, you just mess up your relationships around the NBA if you do something like that. The biggest miss of all the rebuild picks. Take your pick, go for it, lay it all out, let us know the biggest miss of the players that they actually took. And of course, when we talk about this, you'll get to the other players that were around them and all that. But the ones that were actually taken and they missed on that pick. They had a lot of them. Let's talk about them. Ty, you want to start?
Yeah, I think so. And I know that this is not like the biggest in terms of egregious miss, because I think in that particular instance, you're going to look back to Markelle Fultz. But I believe whether you moved to one or it was at three and you stayed there, Fultz was the right pick for this team. They needed the complimentary type guard. Now, granted, we know that Tatum has become a superstar, but
they needed him too, let's be honest.
Sure, they needed both of them. And I felt very, very comfortable.
They had no wings that you can look to do what he does. Robert Covington was here, but he wasn't a player who was going to put the ball on the floor.
Right.
That's why he was taken at number one or number three. In this particular case, it was Boston traded back because he was that type of player. Sixers didn't have any of what we were asking for at that spot. Ball, Fultz, or Tatum.
Yeah.
And even though you had Simmons, it didn't hurt to have Ball with Simmons. But go ahead.
But to me, because of the fact, and remember too, if you go back and look at this draft class, it is a terrible draft class compared to what it, you know, what others have been. And like you got a guy like Devin Booker who fell to like, I don't know, 13 or 14 or whatever
13,
it was.
13.
To me, it's Jahlil Okafor.
Okay.
And the reason that it's Jahlil Okafor is not because he was some enormous bust, even though he didn't play particularly well. The reason that to me it's Jahlil Okafor is because you took a center who was not a built for this type of NBA center. He was a traditional center, back to the basket. He couldn't really face up. He couldn't really extend. He couldn't defend wings and switch like you would like a better center to do. And I know now we're spoiled with Joel Embiid because he can do all of those things. But to me, Okafor didn't make sense at the time, or especially looking back now, because the way that he plays, that time and that era had passed him by the time he had already gotten to the NBA. That type of center just didn't exist anymore. And if it did, they were dinosaurs.
Okay. All right, man. Listen, you're not wrong. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and argue with you about that, because I agree with you. I agree with you on that one. And as a result, let's go back to the 2014 draft where Joel Embiid was taken third overall. No problems there. Things got worked out very well. Lucky, all that stuff with Joel Embiid and where they are, and as we know. So no problems there. Joel Embiid at number three and 14. And then when you go to 13, the Sixers just decided to take Nerlens Noel at pick number six. That was the year before Joel Embiid. And there weren't a lot of things happening there, but the only thing that I would say is, here's where they miss with Nerlens Noel. And I like Nerlens. I'm going to go there. It's how I start things off with their rebuild. Because, yeah, they picked up a big man. He was coming off the ACL. Young, but could come back and do that. That's where I think they missed, only because of where they could have gone, and I still stick with C.J. McCollum. Coming out of school, I thought that, and I know you can take a big man first and all that, but where they were, rebuilding, and you're trading away Drew Holiday, I was okay with that. You could have gotten, not Nerlens, on that back end where they selected, again, Michael Carter-Williams at 11, but you could have gone Steven Adams. That was talked about big time then. He didn't have to be the star in the middle. You needed a very good player. Steven Adams could have been a nice player coming out of Pitt in the middle with C.J. McCollum to start there. You're talking about two high-character guys that we've now seen over the course of their careers all the way back to 2013, where they are almost, 10 years in, and high-character guys play in the playoffs in big spots, borderline all-star for McCollum. While that might have been high at six, I don't think so. We're talking four picks later. Coming out of Lehigh, you had enough time to scout him and figure out who he was. So I'll start there. Nerlens, that was my guy. CJ was my guy even more. And we've seen it play out as well. And the league was already trending in the way where you wanted to have some good guards. You had Drew, but you were trading him. You take Carter Williams later because of that as well. I think CJ McCollum was the right pick at pick number 6. Or if you wanted to do something else, move back, whatever. But for the exercise at pick 6, CJ McCollum was my star. All right.
Well, and that's where mine doesn't have a good answer. Because the other two guys that I would have selected at 3, where Okafor was taken, both ended up not having super runs. One has bounced around, but he's not been good. And the other, I think, has actually probably done almost the same. And it was, I would have gone Stanley Johnson, and I would have gone Justice Winslow. And neither of those two guys have become the player that we had had expected them to be in the NBA coming out of college. So there, it was a lose-lose-lose in my particular scenario. But the position itself, it didn't make any sense with Okafor at the time.
All right, biggest miss of the rebuild during the draft lottery for the 76ers. They had a bunch of picks dating back to, again, 2013, where the 76ers drafted Nerlens Noel to start the rebuild, trading away Drew Holiday, also selecting Michael Carter-Williams at pick number 11, and they missed on both. So I didn't say anything about the Carter-Williams part, more so than starting with number 6. CJ McCollum was the one for me. Where did they miss the most? What was the biggest miss during the draft lottery during that all that time? Even through when they started to make the playoffs and they still had lottery picks, what was the biggest miss? 610-632-0975. We start on the phones tonight in Philly. Rami, what's up, man?
What's going on, Devon? How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
Good. Let me start with the draft thing. I think the biggest one was picking Ben Simmons over Jaylen Brown and Brandon Ingram.
Okay.
Because even coming out of college, he's still like the same person. He had the whole LSU documentary and all that. He's always been what he is right now. So I don't get how they didn't see that coming out of college.
I think they probably went with the guy will mature. He'll get past all of that. And unfortunately for us, we saw it still play out that way.
Yeah, like he didn't want to go to the NIT. Wasn't that like a decision he made? Like, nah, we good.
That was the report. The report was that he didn't want to play, so they as a team, a program, decided not to go. They didn't have to do that. They could have just went anyway. He was leaving. He wasn't coming back. They could have done it anyway. So that's why, while I get it, you know, they still could have gone.
Right. And on Harden, I wouldn't bring him back, and I don't even think Embiid is really on board. Because when he said it in the interview, he was like, yeah, we thought we were getting Houston James Harden, and he's not that guy anymore. He's just a playmaker. I think that he really wanted them to get Bradley Beal, like all the reports always say.
Yeah, I think he did want Beal. But what he said was, in that press conference after the game, he pointed out about Harden, if people were asking for Houston James Harden, you know, we were all saying the same thing. He's a different player. If you watched him in Brooklyn, he wasn't that same type of player because he didn't have to be. And here, he didn't have to be that either, except when you asked him to step up a little bit and score a little bit more. But Embiid, I'm sure his voice is heard in that front office, and I wonder how he really feels. But he didn't say anything wrong. I said it, you said it, Tyler said it, everybody said it. That's not who the guy is. Are you okay with him being who he is now and still helping this team win?
Only if he can stay healthy. Like, I don't know if it's really just the hamstring. All right, so he would have the whole, from now until September to get in shape?
Yeah. Get the treatment. If he requires some sort of procedure, I don't know. Do whatever he needs to do, but do it. You know you're going to be here. Do it.
Right.
That's it.
Well, by that standard, I guess our best route would be to trade Tobias for Bradley Beal, and I don't even know if Washington would do that.
I don't think they will, but...
So we would have to throw in Maxey.
Or it might be a three-teamer somewhere around there where other parts are moved in different spots.
Right. And I think a free agent that they need to look at is C.J. Tucker or Bobby Portis. I think they're both at the end of their contract.
Well, actually, they both signed 2-year deals last year. It's just a matter of them. I think they both have player options.
Right.
Yes. And unless they want to just pick up big money. I think they're both comfortable with the spots that they're in Milwaukee and Miami.
Okay, and for the, you said you want to touch on the Eagles, so my prediction for them this year is at 11 wins.
11 wins, okay. All right, we'll go with that. Mid, thanks, man. Thanks for starting us off. Really appreciate it. That's what we're going to do, starting off that way. Joel Embiid saying what he said again. I had no problem with what he said. He wasn't. He was kind of throwing him under the bus, but was he really? How much did they say during the season, hey, we just want James to be aggressive? How many times did we hear that? All the time.
The coach, quite a bit.
The coach, Embiid, Harris, Maxey, Niang, everyone said, oh, we just want him to be more aggressive offensively. So did he say anything any different than he said all season long? No, he didn't. So, all right, 610-632-0975. Ron, we come right back. I'm coming right to you, man, so don't go anywhere. Phil, Rob, Aaron, Rob, Matt, everybody coming to you. James Harden, what's your comfort level of his extension or just his contract or just him picking up his option? What's your comfort level of his contractual status coming back next season? And NBA draft lottery is tonight, so we want to ask you about the lottery misses. What was the biggest lottery miss for this team during the rebuild? The biggest miss so far? Mid went Ben Simmons. I went Nerlens Noel. Tyler went Jahlil Okafor. Where are you going? The biggest lottery miss of the rebuild right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
So again, the NBA draft lottery is tonight. We've experienced that quite a bit during the 2013 throughout drafts. Doesn't mean as much to us anymore since this team is where they are and one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, yet to get out of the second round, but still no longer in that spot. But I'm still curious tonight because there are, with Houston, Orlando, and Detroit, the top three teams that finished with the worst record in the NBA, they finished with the top three lottery odds of 14% each, Houston, Orlando, and Detroit. Second is Oklahoma City at 12.5%, Indiana at 10.5%, 9 for Portland, 7.5 for Sacramento. The Lakers get Lakers to New Orleans or Memphis. So the Lakers pick goes to the Pelicans or the Memphis Grizzlies. How about that? What if Memphis gets one of these top picks and still being a playoff team? 6% San Antonio, 4.5% Washington, 3% New York, 2% Clippers goes to Oklahoma City, and that's 1.5% Charlotte, 1% Cleveland, 0.5% So Oklahoma City could have two picks in the lottery based on, well, they will, based on the Clippers pick as well. So very interesting to see how this one plays out. I always like it. Of course, we don't have a dog in the fight in this one, but I always like to see how the ping pong balls drop and where they end up and all of that. So that'll be later on, 8 o'clock hour. We'll let you know who gets the number one overall pick. We'll let you know who's in the top three. And we'll go from there because it's really about the top three of this draft with Smith, Banchero, and Holmgren. Which order? I don't know. Which team? Who prefers what? Don't know, but we'll get to that once it's announced in the 8 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975 is promised. We keep it moving on the phones, trying to figure out James Harden's situation contract-wise, where you're comfortable with the Sixers going, and also the biggest lottery miss during the Sixers rebuild since we are no longer caring about it at this time. Let's go to Phil in Philly next on 97.5. Phil, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Devon? You all right?
Yep, I'm all good, man. Thanks, you?
Good. I'm doing well. Appreciate it.
Good.
First things first, biggest miss, and I think this was criminal of the Sixers to do, was to go into the 2017 draft as Brett Brown as the GM and to take Mikal Bridges and then trade him for Zaire Smith was horrible.
Well, that was 2018.
I apologize, 2018. So that was horrible because I know that I'd rather have Mikal Bridges than more than half the Sixers that we have now.
And just real
so
fast,
picture perfect.
It's Mikal. Mikal.
I apologize. Yeah, Mikal.
Yeah.
As far as go ahead.
No, I mean we all know where it played out. So I'll stay away from those whenever we get that one. But go ahead.
Yeah. And then as far as James Harden goes, I think our best option is to take him on the player option and just see how he plays this year. Now, this is very eerily similar to the Jimmy Butler situation where get him midseason. He comes, we have a heartbreaking second-round loss, and then people talk about whether his style of play could last 5 years. And you can see how that turned out by not taking him back. We all wish that we could have him back right now. So I think not keeping James would be more of a mistake than to get rid of him. So that's kind of where I'm standing. I do enjoy what Tyler said about that 3-year, $100 million. Now, I don't know if he'll take that, like you mentioned, but I think our best option is probably to do this year, maybe a 2-year deal at a cheaper option if that was possible. But I don't think getting rid of him is the best option that we have.
Yeah, so and that's why I said he's going to be here. And I think with him being here, I'm comfortable with the 47 of him picking up that player option. That's where I sit.
Yeah, and I think, I wanted to mention this, and I know that everyone's kind of getting the hype of Bradley Beal, and we want him and trading Tobias. I just don't even think that's feasible unless you wanted to get rid of Maxey. And I don't know how much that helps us as far as getting Beal and the way they would fit with all that. Now, obviously, Beal is an incredible player, and who wouldn't want to have Bradley Beal on their team? But I think a more affordable option and a more, better option that we could have would be something that I was thinking about for a more middling team would be to hit up Cleveland and look at more of a Toby for Kevin Love swap. And I know that sounds a little ludicrous. How could you switch from, Bradley Beal to Kevin Love? But the guy's going on to the final year of his deal. You get him for 1 year. He's a 3-point shooter. He could fill that backup center role in spot occasions. And I just think that he is a more rounded, well-rounded option.
Are you going somewhere else to round out your starting lineup at the four?
So he would start at the four.
Okay, so did you also have him playing some backup minutes to Embiid?
Of course, yeah. So, then you'd have to get, we'd keep Bassey and then, B-ball Paul unless he had to get moved because he had a little bit of, spark there. Some people might be interested in him. But I think that he would be a great option as far as a 3-point shooter, rebounding, a leader in the ball club. He could help out with that option. Because I think that people are getting mistaken that James Harden, the offense is going to run through James. It's not going to run through Embiid, as much as you want it to be. Embiid's the best player. That's obvious. But when you have a point guard who is as ball dominant as James Harden, you got to cater the team to what fits his best role. So you have to get players that are going to complement him as best as possible. So I think spot-up shooting and more depth is what we're kind of looking for if we're going to.
And that's because of both of those players, Phil. You're right about that, man. Thanks for the call, and I'll address the Kevin Love part with Cleveland. So Kevin Love last season averaged 22.5 minutes as a reserve for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Phil, he averaged 13.6 points per game in 74 games, so it was good to see him back out there healthy, playing games. He still averaged 7 rebounds, which is a decent number in 22 minutes to go along with those close to this rounded off to 14 points. But I need something. And look, the shooting part, you're absolutely right. Unless they do something else with shot creation elsewhere with the lineup, I don't know that I can lean that. If I do that, that means that Harden and Maxey are in the backcourt. Embiid is obviously at the 5. He's the only defender in that starting 5. So my fifth player has to be someone who can defend, has that length that we talk about at 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", maybe even 6'9". That's where I'm going. If I did something like that, that's the only way I would say, okay, I can see where you're coming from with the Kevin Love piece. But I personally want to get younger. I don't want to get older or stay in that same age range, or just productivity. I want more from what we're talking about. And look, if you do something like that, I know the money might match, but I need, if I can get multiple players for Tobias Harris, but the productivity is not necessarily there, but I have two players coming back into Tobias Harris, hypothetical deal, I need two people that I can count on that are going to play each and every night. Starter and a reserve. They're not going to be stars, but they're going to be complimentary players that will do stuff for me. That will help me. And if I were to go to, let's say we go to Dallas, and I say, you give me Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleber for Tobias Harris, that means I'm getting two players that I can count on to give me minutes and productivity, however they give it to me. Shooting with Kleber, rebounding, solid role player, and the same with Dorian Finney-Smith, where I know I can start him. He's versatile, doesn't necessarily put the ball on the floor like that, but he's not Matisse Thybulle. He's better than that there. Defensively, not the same, but he is tough out there on the floor. Ty, you were shaking your head as soon as Phil was saying Kevin Love. I don't love it either. I want something way better than that.
It wasn't even necessarily the Kevin Love part, which I don't love particularly to begin with, but it was more along the lines of having him start on this team.
Yeah. I would prefer for him to be backup. That's why, again, it's important to do the other stuff, the other things around the edges.
I don't think there is. We keep saying this. I don't think there is other stuff. I'm not so sure how this team thrives in the offseason. I really have no idea. I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact that like they are going to be able to make any kind of moves other than internally or trading Tobias Harris. Like, I have no idea how that even starts.
Well, I think that's where it goes. It starts with Harris. The biggest story, the biggest thing is Harden. But I think a part of that is trying to have other things that are there, like Kevin Love, to Phil's point, which is good. But I think it's about Harris. I think that's where it goes. And that's whether it's Beal, as we talked about on Thursday after the game, and Friday when you weren't here. I know I talked to you about it off air,
yes.
But Beal and Mitchell, watch out for that in the offseason as two names potentially linked to the 76ers. The Beal is the obvious part, but the Mitchell thing, again, that's something to pay attention to. I don't know if it was necessarily an accident that he was here in the playoffs sitting there watching the game.
Well, and then I think the problem
here. So then Harris is probably a part of that.
Right, as are others. And if that's the case, that's fine, but then you're getting to the point where a team that you did not believe, I don't mean you personally, a team that most did not believe was not good enough to thrive in a playoff scenario because of its depth, is going to get even thinner in the depth position.
Well, if you say that something else has to go with Harris for Mitchell, something else has to come back in that deal.
Monetarily speaking.
Yes.
Yes.
But it could still be a player. Could still be a...
No, I mean, you have to match money.
Oh, yeah, money-wise. Okay, but I'm saying a player could still come back and fill, let's say it's a maxi role, which I wouldn't want to do. I'm including Thybulle, that's my negotiation there. Thybulle in that deal. And
takes a team to want him, though.
100%. 100%. But I'm not giving up Maxi for me.
No, so, not at this point.
So give me something else off of your depth chart there that we can come to an agreement. It's not going to be Bogdanovich. It's not going to be anybody else in the start. And Royce O'Neal makes too much money. I think he makes $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be him. It's probably going to have to be somebody else, not Jordan Clarkson. He makes too much. I don't know. I don't, off the top of my head, I can't think of their roster to say a player. But all I'm saying is, give me something back that can also be in my rotation. That's it. Because it's not going to be Maxi and Harris for Mitchell. It has to be, if Maxi is included, has to be Mitchell and something else coming back. That's it.
Sure. No, I get. But then I guess the next step is I'm playing like the eternal pessimist with this offseason. And I think that's the only way that I feel comfortable approaching this offseason, is that it's going to be a very pessimistic type offseason. Even if they make a move, I sit here and go, well, where's the depth? And if they don't make a move, I sit here and go, they're just running it back.
And the crazy thing about it is they'll still be a 50-win team. They'll still be very good. They'll probably be top four. But it's about the playoffs. It's about advancing past the second round. 610-632-0975. Ron in Roxborough with us next. What's up, Ron?
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
Good, you?
How you doing, Tyler? Yeah, doing well. Devon, I didn't really understand you. I wanted to clarify. So if, let's say, Harden opts out of his contract and he says, sign me or I walk, you just let him walk?
Yeah, I can't give him a long-term deal. Ron, I can't do it. That's their job to figure out how to make sure that they get someone else back to make it work for their starting lineup. Unless he's being traded for something else, I can't give him a long-term deal.
But you would just let him walk for nothing.
It's tough because you did what you did by giving up your best asset in Ben Simmons. I understand that. But as far as he goes, I don't want to lock myself. Remember when we were having this conversation, Ron, when they traded for Jimmy Butler and we were like, oh, goodness gracious, they're going to have to give him 5 years and he's going to be 35 and it's going to look terrible. Yeah. Look at what we're talking about. Jimmy Butler, they're about the same age, and you know one is going to play much, much harder than the other. And here we are where we're talking about this and we have no choice because they're kind of hamstrung with it. I understand what I'm saying, Ron. I get it.
No, I mean, yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I just clarified. I was like, all right, I understand. Listen, I understand you said the opt-in is preferable to any other option. And I agree with you.
For me, honestly, yes.
And honestly, I think that's the way it's going to go. I think he is going to opt in because he played so bad. He's going to need to lock that down, and then him and the Sixers will work out something later on.
Because, look, when you say that 47 and he says, I'm opting out, you better give me something or I walk. No one's going to give him anything close to 47. Maybe he gets 30 a year from somebody and he gets, you know, 175 over the course of the life of that contract. And then that'll be their problem going forward. Now it's just up to the Sixers to figure it out. So he opts out of 47 and he wants that 47. He's going to take a $17 million hit from somewhere else and not get the money that he really wants.
No, I agree with you. I think that's how it's going to go. I just wanted to ask you that. And here's the other thing. I wasn't even on the subject. I was on hold, and then you brought it up. The biggest draft miss.
That was our side topic. So, yes, please.
So side topic. So, I get what you're saying about Nerlens Noel, but I understood that. He was supposed to be the number one draft pick, so he hurt his knee, so I got that. And I'm right there with Tyler Zuli with Okafor. I was heartbroken when D'Angelo Russell went to the Lakers. I thought he would have been great with the Sixers doing, but one of the reasons why the Sixers got in trouble in these drafts were doing things like drafting three centers after they already, you know, had them, like, you know, trying to back up. And they were always looking for high ceiling instead of a fit. And I got that in 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17. In 2018, you take a shooting guard when you already have two guards. And not only that, the guy you pass over played in your backyard. His mom worked for your team. He fit your team. His cousin's on the radio. I couldn't believe it wasn't hindsight. At the time, every single person in Philadelphia was surprised. And to put a cherry on top, I watched the draft. You watched the draft. When you get traded, you know that when you get drafted, like everybody knows. In this situation with Mikal Bridges, they pick him. Everybody thinks he's going to the Sixers. Everybody's happy. And then we hear about the trade later. So they messed it up every which way. There is nothing that they did in the draft those years that made less sense than taking a three-star recruit out of high school from Texas Tech, who went to Texas Tech for a year, at guard instead of taking Mikal Bridges. That was terrible. Everybody who had any part in that should have been fired for so many different reasons.
So I'll just take you into just the back part of it as far as the family part goes. They're at the draft. I'm texting back and forth with them. Since they're in the green room there, well, right there on the floor, whatever. And we're all just super excited, right?
Yeah.
And we're and none of us are like, yo, is there a chance he's getting traded? None of us. We're all sitting there like, I'll see you guys tomorrow when you get back. I'm looking around at the Sixers brass like, where's my hat? Because I'm doing the rest of the show from there with my Sixers hat on because that night I could get away with it, even though I was working. Because he was just selected. So, Ron, I'm sitting there texting back with his dad, his brothers, and I'm like, yo, I'll see y'all tomorrow when we have the press conference here at the facility. You know what I'm saying? So, it was a nutty night. It was a nutty 25 minutes. Sorry.
That makes it even worse because I wanted to hear you say, actually, Ron, behind the scenes, we knew what was going on.
Nah.
This was always a plan. Now, when you say that, I double down on it. I double down on it because I'm like I said, I've never seen a trade like that. They always know. They come up to the podium, and everybody's like, he has a Sixers hat, but everybody knows he's going.
And here's the other bad part. All right, you trade him. All right, great. Nobody liked it. But then you take the kid, as you said, and you still had Dante was there. You could have taken DiVincenzo. Now, he's an older player. Zaire Smith was younger, so they look at upside there and all that. Maybe Dante is who he is, but he's a better player that can come in and help you right away as a playoff team. And that's where it just, to your point of doubling down, that's where it got worse, because Dante was right there also in your backyard, and you knew that he could play. He could play in big games, and he could fit a role on your team at that point.
You didn't need to go high up. That's what I didn't get.
Yeah.
Like, if they would have did the same exact thing and they didn't have Ben Simmons or Markel Fultz or Joel Embiid and they were starting from scratch and they pulled that off, I'd have given them a pass, because I'd have been like, okay, Mikal Bridges is definitely better, and he ended up being the better pro, but you were going high ceiling, high upside, so I kind of get it. Not in the team that they had and the picks they had already made. Somebody somewhere one day is going to have to explain to me the thinking behind taking another guard after you took two guards back-to-back number one picks.
I know.
2 years before that.
I know.
Did anyone ever explain that to you?
No. They told me some stuff, but I'll just keep that with them, because out of respect for them actually saying something to me later on about it, I'll just keep it between them.
Did they think he could play forward? I mean,
no, they definitely. As far as Smith, I think it was more. I'll just say a lot. It was. We already knew a lot of it was about that draft pick, the future pick, the 21 pick that went to the Clippers. But Ron, thanks, man. Appreciate
it.
Great stuff. And Jay Hood 1985 says on Twitter, y'all tripping, Devon. You think getting Donovan Mitchell and Bradley Beal, not giving up Tyrese Maxey, classic Philly sports talk radio. I'm not even going to finish with the rest of what you said. First of all, Jay, you know I don't do that stuff. So come on, show me a little more respect than that, Jay. You know I don't do that. Of classic sports talk radio, whatever that means. I don't do that. So I'm not doing that. And I'm not looking at what Utah and all those are doing, because I'm not even saying what they're giving up. All I said was Bradley Beal and Donovan Mitchell. Pay attention to that in the offseason. Obvious things. Two star players that have been linked to the next star player wanting out of their current situation. I didn't say anything else except for I don't want to give up Maxey. If they did it, I understood why they did it. But I'm not doing any Jay Philly Sports Talk Radio classic thing. I've never done that, and I'm not going to start doing that, whatever that means. I do it my way. I hope I do it the right way. I'm not doing it the way that you're insinuating because of what we just said. Come back, Ryan, Rob, Aaron, Rob, and Matt, 610-632-0975. We'll come right back. We'll keep it moving. Talking about James Harden. What are you comfortable with as far as his contract for next season with the Sixers or beyond? And also, biggest miss of the lottery for the Sixers during the rebuild. They had a lot of misses. We only end up with basically here Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Simmons is gone. All you have left is Joel Embiid, the biggest miss of the lottery history for the Sixers during that run only, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
I made Stacy cry on Twitter. She says, Devon, hearing your backstory, that is worse. I'll give you a little more. Even before he was drafted and we thought that the Sixers were a possibility, we were even doing stuff like, all right, what number? Since Simmons is wearing 25, what number is the number? We were doing stuff like that because Simmons had 25 and he couldn't wear his number. So, yeah. There you go, Stacy. Bring you to the family chats of what we were talking about at that time. 610-632-0975, Devon Givens with you. So we've had so far Simmons, the Mikal draft twice now with Phil and Ron. Ramid has Simmons. We'll get to everybody else again. The biggest miss during the draft lottery. During the time the Sixers were picking there and we were all having big shows and stuff like that at that moment. Yes, we had some fun. We were breaking down all the prospects and all that stuff. All you have now is Joel Embiid and 4 second-round appearances in 5 playoffs since then. Nothing's changed as far as that goes. They're no longer that team that's in the 40s and hanging there in the middle. but they're still stuck in one spot, which is not getting past the second round. Not getting past the second round. So there's that.
Why you gotta do that?
I'm just speaking the truth.
Why you gotta do that?
I don't like it.
I don't think any of us do.
I don't like
but
it.
But you're right, it's the truth.
Yeah. I don't like it. Reggie says he likes Paolo from Duke. Too bad the Sixers can't get him, his size, strength, versatility, etc. Well, I'm not rooting for the Sixers as long as Doc Rivers and James Harden with the Sixers, so it's not my problem anymore. Wow, Reg just quit on the Sixers. Huh. Wow.
I get the one. I don't quite get the other. I get Doc. It's been two full seasons. I know that 2 years is not a lot, but it is enough to evaluate.
It can be frustrating.
Rotations and things like that. I get that.
It's enough.
Harden's been here for 45 games.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Not even.
I saw Jason Babin for less than 16 games, and I already knew I couldn't stand him, and I wanted him off the team.
All right, that's fair.
Even with racking up
statistically, like if you just look at the box score,
but I just didn't
he
like
played
him.
Well, but I get it. I totally understand.
Yeah, and I wasn't alone on that. I think that was one player where it was kind of universal, where it was like, the production is there, I still don't want him on my team. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so you can, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. Rev Ronnie says, Brett Brown definitely ruined this team. Imagine having Mikal, Jimmy on this team. Toughness alone would make them 6 to 10 wins better. The only question would be, would Minnesota have wanted Mikal in the deal? I would say yes, but it's just about holding firm and not executing that there with Elton Brand saying, no, I'm not doing that. Because if you remember, Elton Brand at that time had taken over as the general manager, not Brett Brown. Let's go back to the phones. Aaron and Drexel Hill next. We get everybody in here in the segment as fast as we can. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, doing all right, man. Trying to figure out the James Harden contract situation and what you're comfortable with.
So, I'm like you. Let him just play out that 1 year. I think any other player, any other situation, we would have said that. Let him play out that 1 year. Let it be a prove a year. Are you better? Is that hamstring better? Are you going to play better? But I am, too, also feeling as though, like, he has to play full-time, too. He needs to come off the ball. I know that's a stretch for him, but he has to. The team was flowing a lot better when the ball was in Maxie's hand and Maxie was able to kind of control the pace of play. James Harden, as we've seen since he's been on the team, the pace of play is a lot slower than it used to be prior to him coming on, which I think also brought a lot more pressure to Joel Embiid because you knew it was going straight into a half-court offense immediately and all eyes was on Joel Embiid. And with his slow pace of play, it just forced a lot more easier double teams because the ball wasn't constantly popping all the time. That's one. In regards to the worst or where we're
the biggest
wrong,
miss,
yeah, biggest miss. So I'm still going to say this, and I'm going to say it to Markelle Fultz. I agree, the Okafor pick, but that's more so. I always thought in that draft in particular, we should have traded down for Devin Booker, but that's a different story. If we're talking about the persons we actually picked, it was Markelle Fultz because you drafted him with the mindset of you needed the point guard to play next to Ben Simmons when Ben Simmons at the time was already a better point guard than what Markel was coming into the league as, you know, coming from the draft. He was a better scorer, of course, naturally than Ben was, but what you need to do was either replace Robert Covington in that starting lineup or put a better wing player in that starting lineup where you didn't have to depend on Robert Covington's numbers. And the moment we took that Markelle Fultz fit, you still need a Robert Covington's numbers, and you also needed J.J. Redick's numbers. And we saw what that year went like, especially when we made it to the playoffs, and we had nobody else on the team who was able to help Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid when it came to off-ball play.
So where was the adjustment to Markelle Fultz in that draft? Where were you going? Were you taking Tatum at number one because of?
Oh yeah, I was definitely screwing.
I was about to say, you know, while you're screwing Danny Ainge in Boston, but you might also ruin some of your relationships with other executives around the NBA for possible deals elsewhere, maybe even agents.
Well, can we say this? Up until that point, were we not already doing that with the way we were doing the process situation?
But Sam Hinkie was already gone.
But I'm just saying, like, where we...
Because he was the one that had the bad relationships with these executives and agents, not other people. Now, it lingered because of everything that it was hovering over because of him. But he was the one that really had those poor relationships.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but...
Okay, but you say Jason Tatum. I mean, they... Obviously, you can take them because you have the number one pick. You're absolutely right. They just weren't going to do it because of the agreement that was made and not ruining the relationships.
And before you let me go, I just have one thing to say. Not that I'm the biggest Tobias Harris fan, but 2 years in a row, he has caught the heat for the quote-unquote second best player on the team not showing up, because you then expected the third best player to play better than the second best player, because the second best player in both years, in both game sevens in particular, chose not to do anything.
Well, I think Aaron and Harris got a lot of respect from people with his playoff performance, where last season, while his numbers were better, he played better this time around in the playoffs. So he's not taking heat. When the trade talk is discussed about him, Aaron, thanks for the call, man. Always good to hear from you. It's just simply about, all right, we can't do anything else. We can't trade James Harden. We're not trading Tyrese Maxey. Embiid isn't going anywhere. And Matisse Thybulle has to be a part of a deal. Tobias Harris is the only way that you can improve your roster with one of the current players. That's the only way. So I don't think he's taking heat. It's just more of, all right, now that we have 2 years remaining on his deal and we need more stuff and he's the only one that can get us more stuff, that's why we're talking about him.
Well, and that is to be said as to what we were talking about earlier in the show, where nothing happens, nothing moves until a trade of Tobias Harris happens. If they bring back James Harden, whether it be through an extension or the player option.
And he has to do it by June.
And they don't trade Tobias Harris this offseason. Then what you're going to be looking at is very small moves. Like maybe you think that you've seen enough of Thybulle. You trade Thybulle for a vet. Or you trade George Niang for this, or... you trade Shake Milton for that, or Furkan. Like, those are the kind of moves that are going to end up getting made. So when it comes to the upper echelon moves, everything starts. Like, there's no end without the beginning, which is Tobias Harris being traded. And that's why a lot of people, including us, are discussing that trade, is because if that's what you want to do, if you do want to make a move, a bigger move specifically, the only thing that you can do is either not bring Harden back, period. Oh, actually, not either. And also trade Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
So that's fair, all. Yeah. Fair or unfair, that's why he's the topic of conversation so much.
Yeah, it's not so much of what he did this season or didn't do. It's more of, all right, he's the only one that can be moved for something else, and that's just where it's going to go. By the way, Aaron saying Markelle Fultz, the biggest miss for the Sixers during the rebuild and lottery era. Here in town. The Fultz thing, I was on board because I knew why you were doing it. You take another guard to be the secondary ball handler. He can score. He can attack. He can shoot at that time coming out of Washington. And things changed the way that they did when he got here. He may not have been Jason Tatum or how Jason Tatum would have turned out. But if Markelle Fultz turned out to be an 18-point-per-game scorer next to Ben Simmons, and the guy who can be someone who can break down the defense with his ball handling skill and score, that's still a good pick. He's not Jason Tatum, but he's still a good pick. That's one less thing you have to worry about as you move forward. 18 points per game, still giving you about 6 assists. He may be knocking it down at 38-39 percentage from 3-point range, and a solid defender and athletic. That's still a good pick. Jason Tatum just happened to turn out to be a Hall of Famer already when we make our list up, right? Jason Tatum just turned out to be that guy. And one of my buddies, John, at that time, we were talking about it a lot. And he was, because we were talking about positionless basketball all the way back then in 17. And that was a prime example of it, because he was a guy who, as you see now, even though he's out there listed as a small forward or whatever, it's a wing, which is today's game. He can bring the ball up. He doesn't have to bring the ball up. He is now a much better defender. He has turned himself into a facilitator as well, playmaker. Positionless. He can do anything out there on the floor except for play the center position, and he probably could if they went small based on who the opposition was, because he's 6'7", 6'8", almost. That's just how it goes. But Markelle Fultz is Aaron's choice. By the way, again, mine was Nerlens Noel, because I felt like you could have taken C.J. McCollum at 6 and got a little crazy at 11. Who knows? You might have said, hey, if we've taken, and I know Nerlens is supposed to be the number one pick, but he had the ACL, and I was fine with it. But right now, seeing how it all played out, the biggest miss there was the start of the rebuild. Three centers in a row. How about you take CJ at number 6 instead of Nerlens? Maybe instead of Michael Carter-Williams, because CJ is off the board, maybe Portland goes Michael Carter-Williams to team up in the backcourt out there in Portland and have him play as a reserve to Damian Lillard as a backup, even though he's a lottery pick. I don't know. Who knows? He might go earlier, and then what? Maybe you do take Giannis at 11. Right? Maybe. Now you're talking about CJ, Giannis, and Embiid.
Don't do that.
Don't do what?
Don't do that. Don't get our hopes up like that.
Don't do what?
Don't make us feel excited something that sounds like it's happening in 2K.
It was an option.
Sure it was. Absolutely.
You could have taken CJ at 6.
Well, and like you said, with the Giannis thing specifically, none of us.
No, we didn't.
Nobody knew.
All I'm saying is if you can do that if you take CJ at 6. Nerlens is now off the board. Carter Williams might be gone. You have your guard anyway. Let me take a swing on this kid from Greece.
Because I know that this is going to sound a little hyperbolic, but I think knowing what we know now about Giannis might go higher in the all-time NBA draft than he did in his draft. Like, that's crazy.
Like, for his draft, he's clearly number one.
For his draft, he went, what, 15?
He's 15.
Would he go somewhere between 14 and 1 in like, the all-time NBA echelon? Or pretty close to it.
Yeah, he's already talked about
that's
being a top 20 player of all time. So yeah, all time picks. Yeah, but yeah, CJ and Giannis. Now Jay, now I'm doing the classic Philly sports radio, whatever that is. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Rob and Delco hanging out with us tonight. Rob.
Hey Devon, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
Devon, now forgive me, Devon. I might not be coherent with this conversation. It's not because I'm intoxicated or otherwise. It's just because I'm so upset, okay? So I'm going to be talking off the cuff here, okay? Is it possible to get the guy from Utah and Beal? Is there a way we could package, like you said, to buy to either team to get Mitchell or Beal? And Devon, they can have Niang, they can have Court Moss, they can have...
That's why I'll get to that side and say, why would they want those guys?
I know. But is there any way we have to send Matthew for one of those guys in some type of package?
First of all, he doesn't make enough money. Maxie does, and no one else on the team outside of Harris, Harden, and Embiid make enough money to include any package with Maxie to make that stuff fit. You have to get another team involved, and all that stuff has to work out with the financials to go there. So your best bet is just probably Tobias Harris, unless James Harden just simply wants out. They do find a trade partner where he can, in fact, sign and trade from here to wherever he ultimately goes. And whoever that player is coming back, Beal, Mitchell, whoever, I don't know. That's the only way it would get done. But you couldn't have all four on this team at once.
I know. I'm trying to have my cake and eat it too.
Yeah, you couldn't do that.
Come on, who'd you take out of those two?
Mitchell,
I would.
He's younger. He's younger.
He's athletic, right?
He's not as injury prone as, or I'm not going to say Bradley Beal's injury prone, but he's been injured a lot, and he's younger.
He's tougher, right?
I think Bradley Beal's tough. I really do. I just look at it. If you're able to keep Maxie here, and you have Beal, Maxie, Harden, I don't like that. I like Mitchell better because he's more athletic. He's younger. He came into the league with the profile of being a defender. So I would imagine it's still in there. For whatever reason, Utah can't pull it out of him anymore. He does it. He's a turnstile. But if I had to do that, I feel like I can get away with it because he's younger.
I didn't realize he was here. You said he was here during the playoffs? When did he get?
Yeah, he was in the Miami Heat. I think it was game four. He was here.
Oh, okay. So he's at, okay.
Him and Seth Curry. They were not sitting together, but they were both in the building watching the game.
Devon.
Yeah.
And real fast before I get to my Sixers bus during this rebuild period.
The biggest miss. Yeah.
I mean, Devon, I don't even want Harden back for a year. But if we have to bite the bullet, I'm biting it for 1 year. I'll eat it for 47 million.
Yeah,
dollars.
Yeah, you eat it, and then you.
I don't want him back for multiple years. I just don't.
And then you reevaluate it. And by the way, he has to opt in before they can even start to talk about the extension, or technically start to talk about the extension.
And
so
I'm not limited to giving up the first round pick or whatever it was. And what are we going to do from there, Devon? I don't know. That's not my job. That's Maury's job.
That's their job to figure it out. You're right. Who's your biggest miss during the lottery run here lately for the Sixers?
I misunderstood. I was going back in the day.
Oh, no. It was just strictly for the rebuild of Sam Hinkie and beyond.
I was going with Sean Bradley. Over
well, yeah, that was a bad one with Weber and Penny.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Penny. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with, I don't know if it was said, if it was the same draft, I hope it was, taking Simmons over Brandon Ingram. Now
yeah,
that I look back.
Yes, yeah, that was number one and number two. Those were the number one and number two picks in that draft in 16.
Yeah. All right, Devon, listen, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Forget that moron, Jay. Your class and always.
Well, Jay's good. Jay's a good dude. We always just go back and forth on things. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it, man. He's going with Simmons again over Ingram in that one. I know people who also wanted Ingram or Murray in that draft, so. A lot of people who we might hear from, it's not revisionist. That's who they actually wanted at that time. So it's a fair thing to come back with, because I do know that there were people doing those shows. Man, we did shows for almost 2 months with that conversation because we were so excited, because he was almost a can't-miss guy. Can't-miss guy. Robert and Ambler next on the Fanatic. How you doing, Rob?
Hey.
What's up, Rob? Can you take us off of speaker or whatever that is?
Hang on 1 second.
You got it, man. No problem. Yeah.
Is that better?
That's much better. Thanks, man.
It's DoorDash, Rob, right?
What's happening, Rob?
Hey, listen. I don't want to talk about the Sixers, if you don't mind.
Go for it. What you got? You got the Eagles? Okay.
Yeah, I got Eagles, and I got a Philly thing.
All right, let's go.
Really concerned. Last, when we played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians was mic'd up. And he pulled his offense on the side and said, look, he can't read his defense.
I remember that. And it wasn't actually Bruce Arians. It was one of the other coaches that said it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so what they were saying was just simply that Jalen Hurts wasn't reading the defenses that well, so they felt like they had an advantage that day, that playoff game.
You think he's just not doing his homework?
I know he's doing his work. That guy works, Rob. Yeah. That guy works. So I think what the problem was for him was, like many young quarterbacks, your first time in the playoffs, and they figured you out. And he got a little nervous about being in the moment. And they had ran the right defenses against him. They confused him a bit. And I hope that he's better year number two when they get back into the postseason.
Yeah.
He will work. He does work. He will work to be better.
I know. He's a workaholic. I'm just hoping that, like, another statement like that does not come out by anybody.
Well, I'm sure that there were statements about a lot of players who turned out to be greats because early on they were young and mistake prone at that time.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so what you got on the fills?
Oh, man. Can you explain to me why, just against the Dodgers, like just the thing we just passed against the Dodgers, why can't the team get runs Aaron Rodgers?
For Aaron Nola, you mean?
Aaron Nola.
All right, yeah, we'll address that, Rob. Listen, thanks for the call, man. Drive safe out there. I know you're busy. Sounds like you're busy. It's not an exact science. It's baseball. That's my answer. It's baseball. Especially when you feel like you have a guy on the mound that can do some good things, and maybe you feel like you look, everybody's trying to hit and home runs and get hits in general and put runs on the board. But I mean, the only answer I guess is just baseball, because we would say the same thing about Cole Hamels. For years, why can't the Phillies give him any run production? We know he's a really good pitcher. Why can they not give him any run support? It's baseball. It's baseball. Ryan, you're first when we get back. Jeremy, Matt, Mike, Mark, one open phone line since we've gotten underway. We'll incorporate the Eagles in their schedule as well. But we're talking to you about James Harden and your comfortability with his contract. Where are you comfortable going with him? And with it being the lottery night, the NBA draft lottery night, we want to know the biggest misses during the draft process there, during the rebuild here in town before they became the playoff team again. And even when they became the playoff team, they missed on some other picks there. So the biggest lottery miss for the Sixers during the rebuild era, 610-632-0975. We're going with you until 10 tonight. Tyler Zuli's here, 945. The Leftovers right here on this Tuesday night. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that funk of Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 802-97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975 as we go until 10 o'clock this evening and have a good conversation. Talking about James Harden a little bit. Biggest thing about the Sixers this offseason. Yes, they have to improve the bench, the depth overall, but Tobias Harris thing is a question. But it's also about James Harden. It really is. And what they do with his contract, whether it's him opting in to the $47.4 million, a long-term extension of 5 years, or something shorter, like Tyler Zuli presented, maybe 3 years, somewhere in $100 million range, $33.3 million annually, where he gets that $100, and you're okay, you live with that. I only want to give him the 1 year, deal with that, and go from there. Now, he has to opt in by June. The extension, though, if I'm correct, the extension cannot happen until, I believe, the way I was reading it, August. So that's where things get a little tricky about it. They'll have time to, I guess, assess where he is injury-wise, see where he is with the recovery of the hamstring, if that's still a problem, if that's still bothering him. And I guess make a decision there, or they just simply wait until they see him play basketball and go from there. So, big money either way. And now they have to figure out what to do. Tyler, with the lottery tonight, quickly, and then we'll get back to the phones. We'll go to Ryan to start. Of the teams that I told you, if I had to tell you to guess right now who's winning the lottery, who's winning the lottery?
Okay. I think the team that is going to win the lottery tonight, because they have yet to win the lottery in their down years, I believe, if I remember correctly, is going to be the Houston Rockets.
Ooh. They get the number one pick, huh?
I believe so.
Okay.
I know that people always joke around, and some people are serious about it, that the draft lottery is rigged. I don't believe that to be the case. But you spend enough time in the bottom three with that 14%, you know, and even before that, like 22% or whatever it was when the Sixers were a big part of it.
Yep.
At some point, the ping pong ball is going to bounce your way. And Houston's been there for 3 years now. And so
last season,
I believe it's going to be the Houston Rockets.
I actually think Detroit wins it again, back-to-back seasons.
Okay.
And you get Cade Cunningham last season, and I think they would go Jabari Smith right now, number one.
The other team that I think would maybe have a chance to pull from not the top three, and jump into the, and obviously everybody has a chance, but to jump into the top three and maybe even get the number one overall pick, and Sixers fans are going to hate this, is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. They have a 12.5% chance. They can jump right in that top three.
It's not a big, I mean, it's you're going
not
from
a big
what,
ask
four,
there.
Four to three or
yeah.
two or one. I mean, it's not like you, you know, it's not like it's the New York Knicks who have like a 77% chance of being the 11th overall pick. Those are the two teams I think may win it tonight are either the Houston Rockets or the Thunder.
And the other interesting one is Indiana and Portland for me. Just because they're normally playoff teams.
Sure.
Indiana and Portland, that intrigues me too as far as them getting a top pick and maybe between Banchero, Holmgren, and Smith. That's an intriguing thing as well. Indiana and Portland. Had a down year this year for both teams. Made some trades, changing who they are. And what if they wound up in the top three?
Well, then I think you're...
I'm sure Damian Lillard doesn't want one of these young players, but they're there. So you might as well... I think he's actually there, too, representing the team.
Your conspiracy theorists are going to come out even further.
Because
that it's rigged. Because you get a team like that, like Portland specifically,
yeah,
who have been good for so long.
But they are in the top six, a percentage.
Correct.
Of actually jumping.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's that big of a jump, right? You're not talking
right.
about, Patrick Ewing-type conversation. Right, it's not that big of a jump, but you're going to get, how come the first time that Damian Lillard's team has been bad, they're the number one overall pick? Yeah, and that's where you get the conspiracy theorist conversation.
All right, last one, and then we go to Ryan. If you are, as you just said, Houston wins the lottery, who are you taking of those three players?
Obviously you have to look at there's a balance between taking the best player available and taking the player that you think is the best fit for you. To me, I think regardless of, and I think you and I differ, I would be taking Paolo with the number one overall pick this year. I know that he's not the schematic fit for everybody, but that would be the guy that I would take.
Okay. I would lean.
See, I would not take Chet Holmgren. I can tell you
it
that.
Changes
I,
for
I would
each
not.
Team, no matter
no,
the team?
No. Not, I don't mean it all.
Okay.
I mean with the number one overall pick.
For either team?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Not at one?
No.
It's between Smith and Banchero?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Interesting.
And it's not no disrespect to the guy. I think he's a really good player. I don't know if he's number one overall pick good.
Okay. He's good.
He's very good.
He's good. Yeah, he's really good. All right. James Harden, he has to opt in.
Next month.
By June. And as it said here, because the extend and trade restrictions last 6 months after the transaction, Harden and the Sixers cannot formally put pen to paper on a higher-end extension built off that opt-in until August 10th of 2022. However, the two sides can absolutely come to an understanding of what the contract would look like, and in fact, they would have to do so because Harden's player option decision comes before the league year turns over in July, so he has to do it next month. 47 for me is good enough. Opt in, my man, and we start from there. Next in this 8 o'clock hour, we start with Ryan in Port Richmond on 97.5 The Fanatic tonight. Ryan.
Hey, Devon, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I don't want to be a downer about the team, but, I don't know if there's a move out there that's really going to lead to a championship. I honestly... I don't see that, the hope that we had in the beginning of the process, and even as much as 2 years ago, I would say, I retained my season tickets and all that, but...
Glad you did.
I just don't see Embiid as a leader like that. I think if he was ever going to win, he'd have to be on a loaded team, and we just don't have that, we just don't have those kind of assets or that ability to build that anymore.
So there's no maneuverability for you at this point.
I'm not saying there's none because I don't have everything in front of me. I just don't think there's a needle mover. I just don't think, I'm okay with that they took the shot for Harden, even though everybody knows I'm Ben Simmons' biggest fan. I mean, I'm known for that. But I understood why they took, you know, I understood why they took the shot, and I've always liked Harden. I don't know if it's really Harden's fault. I think this season, really, where they got hurt was the injury. And I hate to say it. I know I always come down on the guy, and everybody's like, you're an Embiid hater, but, you know, whether it's my team or not, I try to be objective and I try to really call things how I see them when it comes to sports. And when he dunked that ball versus Toronto and you're up 30 and you want to let out a little yell or whatever, I don't have any problem with that, you know? But when you run down the court with the airplane on the elimination on their court, listen, you're not the Denver Nuggets with the Kemi Mutombo knocking off the 70-win Sonic, okay? This was a 4-5 series, and you were the favorite, and you should have put him away two games before that. When he did that and threw that in their face, you know, I feel bad he got hurt, but I don't think Siakam intended to hurt him, but I definitely think he went in on that drive with the intention, like, you know, I mean, I'm old school, man. Like, you want to beat me? Fine, I accept that, no problem. You want to rub it in my face? I'm not saying I'd be the one to do something, but if somebody does something, that's part of the game. He took that right to the chops, and that really hurt them.
My comeback to that with the Raptors is during the regular season, and while we get with that, and they were taunting him with the airplane and all because of what happened in the 2019 playoffs, Fred VanVleet was doing the Sam Cassell's big you-know-what dance. You know what I'm saying? So...
You can't
get too mad about it.
No, I can't get mad about it when it's the team that represents me doing it. Just because somebody else does it doesn't mean I'm going to lower my character. You think Brian Westbrook would do that?
No, that's not who Westbrook is.
Well, and what I'm saying is high character is going to win out.
Yeah, but we've seen so many players, to your point, of low character where nothing bad happens and all they do is win.
Exactly. No. What I'm saying is, but they have loaded teams behind them. What I'm saying is if Embiid's truly going to be represented as the best of the best, who's the best of recently? Steph, Giannis, LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You would never question these guys. They would never clown in a situation.
But see,
like
look,
that.
Here's why I disagree with you there when you bring up Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, the way he reacts after his 3-point makes and all the things that he does with his celebrations, I personally don't have it. And I know, as you said, loaded team, and he backs it up, but he does it. And that's why when they were down a season ago, you were here multiple, as an NBA fan, Ryan, you've heard this, multiple people around the NBA. I don't feel bad for them after they were doing stuff that they were doing to us and then celebrating about it.
Devon, that's fine. I don't want to make it about the Warriors, and I appreciate your point on that. And Steph has been guilty of that in the past. What I'm saying is he still exemplifies high character in other areas, but I don't want to stay on Steph. The other thing about Embiid. To come out with the comment to saying Houston, James Harden, dude, you can't say that. Devon.
I had no problem with it, Ryan. We're just disagreeing tonight.
You're serious. You're honestly.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many times did he say it during the season when they played where he said we want James to be more aggressive?
I know. I didn't agree with it then. He's a clubhouse lawyer, a.k.a. Jimmy Butler. I don't like that kind of stuff. Let me get two more.
I didn't have a problem with it.
Please let me make two more
points. Oh, go for it. I'm not going to cut you off because we disagree. No, I just disagree.
No, I didn't mean because of that. I just wanted to work some in.
Yeah.
I don't want you to go too much into the personal details of it. I know the team probably privy to so much. But I was always under the impression, and what I had heard, and I'm not trying to defend them even though that's my guy. I'm just saying what I had heard. I always heard that Brett was very upset how things went down with your cousin. And... very upset that your aunt had to go through that night and that he was not on board with that move. That's what I had heard.
That came out publicly where they had talked about that publicly where they wanted him. And I had heard that behind the scenes, too.
I fell in love with that pick.
Yeah, and I will say this. I will say this because the former part owner, David Heller, had a big voice in that room that day. And that
he
was
had a big
that's
voice and a lot of moves.
A lot of moves, yes. And that was made public. So that's not anything that was shared with me behind the scenes. That's something that's public. But I know a lot of people don't know Ryan because of who Harris and Blitzer and even Michael Rubin are. They don't know necessarily the name Heller. So I wanted to make sure I shared that with people so they know who he was. And he was one that thought he knew the game a lot because he knew the game a little bit.
He had the experience with Sacramento. He had the background with
right.
the NBA at all, and they leaned on him a lot. And then
and they leaned on him too much.
And they got the bigger names out of there. But I don't want to go over a tangent. I'm going to add another thing. Colangelo and them, it's hard for me to think that they didn't sabotage the whole thing on purpose, especially with taking care of Phoenix and taking care of Danny Ainge. Let's not forget, they're all buddies, Colangelo and all them guys.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the picks, I think I got a pretty good one. I don't know if anybody said it.
That's seven.
All right, and there was plenty of bad ones. It's not quite Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn in front of Steph, but I am continuously haunted by TLC and Korkmaz.
Wow.
Both going right in front of Siakam. And the fact that Colangelo wouldn't pull the trigger on another young prospect out of Cameroon just shows you how deep his dislike of Embiid really went.
Oh,
and
man.
I'll also say this about Brian.
That's a good one.
Right? I hate Colangelo. I hate him. I'm a Sam Hinkie guy all the way, son of Sam. I'm actually the one that coined the phrase, Hinkie died for our sins. I've told you that before. But Colangelo, I'll say this about the tweets he wrote about Embiid. Devon, was he lying?
I would have to go back and look at them again because you remember them better than I, but Rye.
I don't think four chocolate cakes is a good dietary plan.
Well, no, and look, man, I'll run all that stuff out again, man. Thanks for the call. I'll run all that stuff out, Ryan, because how often back then would I talk about them filling up his fridge with good eats, healthier eats, and he wouldn't eat it. They come back and change his fridge and he didn't touch it. So I know that stuff, but he's gotten so much better at it. That's where we talk about the maturity of it all. He's got much, much better. Much, much better. So that's, yeah, I mean, look, it was what it was. Was what it was. It's tough. But that TLC Korkmaz, I think it was 24 and 25. In that same draft with Ben Simmons, 2016, 24 and 25 in that 2016 draft, and Pascal Siakam went 27. Josh Hart went 30 in the 2016 NBA draft. Shame on you, Brian Colangelo. Shame on you. Shame on you, David Heller, for getting in the way. Should have been an executive, not an owner. That's what you wanted to do. Shame on you.
'24 and '26.
Okay, right. Yeah, not back-to-back.
With Bryce Johnson in between.
Siakam was 27.
Correct.
Hart was 30.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
DeJounte Murray was 29.
Well, that year, because Simmons and Murray worked out a lot because they were both clutch, they worked out a lot together. And my friend, James Clark, JC, he was their trainer. During the pre-draft, Murray and Simmons told the Sixers to take both of them. Of course, he wants them to take both his clients, but DeJounte Murray is now, whether it was as an injury replacement, he was, in fact, an all-star this past season. Let's go back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Jeremy in South Philly. Jeremy.
Yo, what's going on, Devon?
Good, man. How about you?
I'm hanging in there.
All right, good.
Worse after this Brian Colangelo conversation. That guy was the worst executive in the history of Philadelphia sports. Stamp it. That's it.
He was awful. Absolutely awful.
Terrible.
But, awful.
So I called because you kind of answered my question a few calls ago, but I wanted to know if you really preferred Mitchell over Beal and why that was, because I feel like Beal can play the three, and that's what we've been dying for since the beginning of this whole situation.
Only problem is they're basically the same size.
Gotcha.
Yeah, basically the same size. Bradley Beal is, what, 6'3"?
I thought he was taller than that. That's on me.
No, that's fine. Let me see what they actually list him as. 6'4", actually, they list him as. So if he's 6'4", you know he's 6'3", 6'2", right?
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, I think he's at 6'3", but I'll double check just to see what they actually list him as. They have him at 6'1". Yeah, they have him actually at 6'1", 6'1".
I mean, Mitchell's younger, so if they're the same size, that kind of...
Well, 6'4 and 6'1". So Mitchell is 6'1", Bradley Beal 6'4". There is a difference, but it seems like they play the same, right?
Neither of them can play the three is really the point.
Right.
So my real dream, number one on my wish list, is Brandon Ingram, and it has been for a couple of years now, but I don't know.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything with that.
Yeah. I think, yeah. We just need a three.
They need multiple wings. Many. Not just one. They need multiple wings.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
Hey, man, listen. We've been talking about this since all the way back in 2016, where we're like, all right, go get some wings. 2017, go get another wing. 2018, go get another wing. You draft one, and you traded that wing. Then you 2019, get another wing. They finally get Matisse Thybulle as a wing, but he can't score. And, you know, that's part of the problem. Very good at what he does, born almost great in today's NBA, but... That's you still, with the lack of things that they have, his deficiencies are highlighted and under a microscope because of the things that he doesn't do.
Right. Do you think that moving Harris gives us the flexibility to maybe bring in two guys, or do you think...
I think so, but you just won't get big names. You'll get names that can contribute maybe 15 points a night, another one to give you maybe 10 or less points a night, but can give you minutes. And I think that's part of the big deal here is the depth and the minutes, right? So I think that he could.
Do you think it's a foregone conclusion that he will be dumped?
No, I do not. And again, that's because I don't know that he actually gets moves and what his value is around the NBA. I don't know. We have a lot of questions, Jeremy, that we just simply don't know the answers to, and we don't want to still be here after all of the years of them rebuilding and putting these playoff teams and contenders on the floor, man. Jeremy,
yeah,
didn't
Andre Iguodala get us to the freaking second round? Okay.
Yes, game seven. Yes, he did. Yep, and they should have won that game. I remember against Boston. Boston went on a run at the end. Rondo hit a three, I remember, on the wing that crushed them. Can you give us, Jeremy, a miss during the rebuild in the lottery?
Yeah, with the benefit of hindsight, I think it's got to be Brandon Ingram.
Okay.
You need a wing now, and he was right there. And at the time, I happened to be begging for him. But, I think Brandon Ingram, because that's what you need the most right now, is a wing.
Okay, you got it, man. Hey, Jeremy, hang in there, man. We'll see what happens going forward. Hope to talk to you soon. Thanks, man. Right. Have a good rest of your night, Matt. And Jamal, Spider, Travis, and Rich, hang on. We'll come right back. We'll keep it going. And we'll let you know what the lottery results turn out to be. They've already gotten started. They went to commercial break. That means they're coming back to give us the final few of the order and get to the number one pick. We'll let you know who that is when we come back as we discuss everything else right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that funk of Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic. It's 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, the lottery is set. Number one overall pick goes to the Orlando Magic at pick one, the OKC Thunder at number two. And the number three pick, Houston Rockets. That's trouble. Tyler, your pick, they didn't make it. Mine was Detroit.
No, they got 2 and 3.
They got 2 and 3. Oh, from Houston? Who are you talking about?
Oh, I was saying Houston and OKC were the two teams.
Oh, yeah. And mine was Detroit. They number five. Jonathan Givony already putting it out there, his top five. Five goes to Keegan Murray from Iowa. I love him. Nice player. Solid. Smooth. To the Pistons. He has Sharp from Kentucky going number four. And then he has number four to Houston, Sacramento, who again just continues to just do Sacramento things. They can't get the number one overall pick. When they get number two, they take Marvin Bagley instead of Luka Doncic. Number three is Houston, and he has them taking Paolo Banchero. Number two, Oklahoma City Thunder, Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga. And number one, the Orlando Magic selecting Jabari Smith. And that one I agree with. I also agree with OKC taking Holmgren over Banchero at number two. I agree with that as well. So there you have it. That's your top five in the lottery. That's it. You know we're going to get mock drafts tonight. In like like 9 o'clock, everybody's going to be all set.
It's really nice. Well, it's not really nice because the alternative, we should still, I mean, I'd like to be worrying about today. I was going to say it's really nice to not have to worry about this event anymore, but I'd like to worry about today because the Eastern Conference Finals are today.
Yeah, 100%.
A different worry.
Yeah.
A better worry.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't have either of them.
Yeah, man.
And here we are.
Here we are. Here we are. Last time the Orlando Magic had the number one pick,
Dwight Howard.
They hit that one. They got that right.
Yeah.
With Jameer at number 20.
It's good. It's a good draft
right there. Yeah, you get two starters for 8 years. Both of them make the All-Star team, one Hall of Famer. Yeah, absolutely. And if you remember, Jameer was drafted by Denver and traded to Orlando that night, draft night trade. So, all right, I love that stuff. I know it has nothing to do with the Sixers, but I just love that stuff. Orlando has a lot of bodies too. So all three of these guys being front court players and all of the front court players that Orlando has, someone's going to be traded or they actually move out of the pick and get extra bodies. Don't take Smith, Holmgren, or Banchero at all. None of them. All right, let's go back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Matt is in Springfield joining us here. How you doing, Matt?
Good. How you doing, Devon?
Good, man. Thank you.
So I got my lottery miss, and I also got a trade proposal I saw on a Bleacher Report article I want to get your opinion on.
Okay.
But first off, my lottery miss is actually the third pick in the 2017 draft is the same guy I wanted to trade Ben Simmons for this year, and that is De'Aaron Fox.
So you felt like they should have taken, so Simmons was the miss, and they should have taken Fox.
Yep, I wanted Fox really bad. I think he would have been a good fit with Embiid. He's really fast. He can score. He can run the pick and roll. I just think he would have been a great fit.
It was a conversation at that time because it was so many talented. There were so many talented players from Ingram to Murray to Fox. Monk even had, you know, a lot of people love Monk here because of his scoring ability and just so many players there to discuss. So we talked about Fox a lot, who wound up going number five to Sacramento. And those were the reasons, because he could do those things. He could play defense. He had the speed. He could run that pick and roll. His one issue, of course, was the outside shooting, which is still played out in the NBA, but he's gotten better. Obviously, that was a guy that we all, a lot of us had our eye on, but in the end, I had no problem with Simmons.
And if you remember that year, UCLA played Kentucky, so it was Lonzo and Fox.
Those games were
35
crazy.
Shut Lonzo down. So that's when I really started liking him.
Oh, man. And you know those games were the ones that were highlighted on television, so we all saw that one.
Yeah, and then my trade request, well, its proposal that I saw was Shake Milton it was Matisse Thybulle and Tobias to Cleveland for Kevin Love, who you talked about, but also Colin Sexton in the deal, which I like Sexton a lot. You mean he got his hurt all this year, but last year he scored like 24 a game, and he also brings that like dog mentality and toughness that like would fit good. Like the Jimmy Butlers of the world here.
Yeah, he does bring that. They absolutely miss that type of thing. All right, so how is he used here? He's up for a contract extension, and he feels like, based on what you're talking about, he feels like he was the best player on that team. That has now turned out to be Darius Garland, and now even Evan Mobley. Jared Allen's an all-star. How are you using him here?
So I'm using him off the ball. I'm putting Max in a bench in my starting five with the. I think Max is overrated, but I mean, I don't really like a 6'1" guy who can't play make with the ball in his hand. He can't play defense, and I get a lot of people like him. So he's my sixth man, but my starters are Harden, Sexton, Love, Embiid, and then a free agent I'm signing who's a really good 3-and-D guy and he can shoot, and that's Dante DiVincenzo.
Well, Dante's restricted, so you're going to have to offer him some money, and then Sacramento will not match it. I hope that they won't match it.
Yeah, that'll be my squad, and a couple bench guys I was looking into. I know Malik Monk took a min deal.
He's going to get paid probably
again,
this summer.
I'm a fan of him, and even Thad Young, like a vet, plays tough. I wouldn't mind, but definitely got to improve the bench.
Got to improve the bench. It's Harden, Harris, and the bench. That's the order of how things have to go in terms of focus this offseason. And a lot of changes on the bench. All right, we'll address that, Matt. Thanks for the call, man. Good thinking. The only problem with Sexton is, how do we know he'll be any different than Maxey? I understand the dog part. He's coming off of a tough injury. Is he coming back to return to be that player? I don't know. He does bring defense to your backcourt. He brings defense. So Harden, Sexton, Dante, Love, and Embiid. Is that better than the starting five with, let's include Thibault or Green because they both started during the season? Is that better?
I don't think so.
You know Sexton can put up points. So he and Maxey right there, production-wise, they offset. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
They agree? Yeah. Okay. Now, he put those points up on the bad team, but I think it's legit that he can score in this league, especially playing with better players. Harden is Harden.
Right.
Colin Sexton does have Maxey-like speed. Dante as an upgrade over Thibault?
Probably.
And Green?
Yeah, probably.
I would agree with that. Healthy.
But again, where's the money come from? How are you going to get him?
Dante?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand that this is going to be the type of conversation for the next 5 months or so. They don't have money. There's no money to go around. Until something happens with Thibault and Harden. Harris and Harden. Sorry.
Right, but the Harris part again, based on what Matt was saying, was Harris was going to Cleveland. So that's figured out in the Love Sexton deal.
Sure.
Would you do Love Sexton for Harris and Thibault?
Knowing
you have to pay Sexton?
I don't think so. I think I'm a bigger Tobias Harris guy than most have been. And like a lot of people said, he played well in the playoffs, which is true. The only benefit to making that deal, other than Sexton obviously being an upgrade over Thibault, and I know they're not the same positional value, but if you're playing one-on-one, the only upgrade that would do would be that Kevin Love's contract comes off the books at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And it frees you up some money for 2024.
And then you're looking for another starting power forward.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if that makes you any better.
And you already believe that Kevin Love is not a starter. So
yeah, I don't think that makes you any better.
Yeah, he's not better than Tobias.
Yeah, I don't think I like that team all that much, to be honest.
Dante's going to be a lot of people are going to want Dante to come back home. Sacramento has to not match it, though. Maybe it's a sign and trade. Sign and trade. Tobias Harris, Matisse Thibault, Tyler, for Harrison Barnes.
No, I'm out.
And
you don't even have to finish.
And Dante.
I don't like Harrison Barnes at all.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't mean to commandeer your show. I don't like Harrison Barnes at all.
Yeah. Would that even work? Because Dante doesn't have money yet. It's not up there yet. I wonder if that would even work. Just curious. All right, 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Let's check in with Jamal in the Northeast. What's up, Maul?
Yo, what's going on to the only other member of the Dennis Smith fan club? What's
yeah,
going
man, on, we're hanging on by a thread.
By a thread, family. How you been, man?
I've been good, man. Thank you. How about you?
I'm in my usual six of hell, man. I'm in my six of hell.
It's not your fault. They did it.
No. Listen, they always do it. They've been doing it. Why don't we just have basketball people running things? That's all I want. I just turned 47, so I remember the days of Jack McMahon and Billy Cunningham and Chuck Daly as an assistant. It's just basketball people. We have no basketball people, Devon.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sad. It's sad that you got to do a process. Missing just the process, because if we do pass the process, we're gonna be here for about another 4 hours. I don't know, Devon.
That's why we only did the misses during the rebuild. That's it.
Jesus, and just take the dudes from Villanova. If they just took everybody from Villanova, just everybody, we'd be fine. Simple stuff, but we don't do simple stuff, Devon.
Nah.
It's harder being a Sixers fan than any other team in this city. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. Because we used to have the title to hold over the Eagle fans. Can't do that no more. Devon, I don't know what to say, man.
Hey, listen, man. I think a lot of people would disagree with you just because the Eagles are the Eagles. And you know, Flyer fans are so diehard the way that they are as well. And it's a shame. It's a shame we separate the Flyers from the Eagles, the Sixers, and the Phillies, because they do that. They do that.
Okay, Devon, but I'm going to hit you with this, Devon.
Yes.
The last 20 years, so from 2002 to 2022, who's been the worst? The Flyers at least have made the finals during that time, right?
2002?
So, yeah, remember, the Sixers made the
in 2001, yeah.
And the Flyers made the finals, what? That was like 2010, right, Devon?
Yeah.
Okay, when the last time Sixers been to the conference?
That was it.
We gotta go back to when we was kids.
That was it.
Fine.
Yeah, that was
And if they sign him to the mega, the Supermax, I'm done. I'm gonna call you. We're gonna talk about the Flyers, the Eagles, or the Phillies. I'm telling you right now.
And
they give him the Superman. They can give him the 47.
That's why. Yeah, exactly. That's why we said the 47.
Yeah, you can give him the 47, and honestly, I want him to take the 47 and then leave, and hopefully we can use that salary cap space to go elsewhere if he just leaves.
They're still in a bad spot financially.
Okay.
They have to figure it out and figure out what they need to do, but financially they're still in a bad spot. You can't just go out there and just sign anybody to a big deal and like take the production that he left behind.
Yeah, so pretty much.
It's about him coming back. And maybe it's a sign and trade. That's it.
Yeah, so pretty much we're going to be in the same place next year.
Well, no, because you can move Harris and maybe get something for Harris. I don't know what that is, but you could.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think we'll have to sell that one.
Okay. give us a miss during that lottery conversation that we were having,
Devon,
of the recent years.
Devon, I love you. It's two. That's just I just want to say. It's just two because I don't know if they've been said because they're obvious. One is Okafor. And we could have had Devin Booker.
That was Tyler's choice at Okafor.
Okay. And the other one is Šarić. And we could have had Zach LaVine. Am I right on that?
Yeah, Šarić went. But see, remember, it was a trade because they drafted Elfrid Payton and traded with them for Dario Šarić.
Okay.
So it wasn't a straight up draft.
Okay. But when we picked Payton, could we have gotten Zach LaVine? That's what I was
Zach LaVine, I think he went a pick or two before.
I thought he went
Minnesota. I have to look that one up. I have to remember that one because that was – I have to look it up. But we'll let you know on that one. We'll let you know on that one. Hey, man, it's always good to hear from you. Thanks, man.
Hey, man. Take care, good brother.
You too. I can't – I think Zach LaVine went right before – Šarić, I think, because he was 11, unless Zach went 12 or 13, freshman from UCLA.
Now, LaVine went 13.
13. So
Sharks went 12.
He was a pick after. Sorry, one pick after. Okay,
and
so you're right.
Peyton went 10.
You're right, Maul. You're right. So, but they swapped him either way. You could have taken Zach LaVine at 10. We'll just go with the LaVine one since you have the Okafor. Man, Šarić, LaVine. Okay. That changes things. That changes things for sure. Back to the phones we go. Next up, Travis in the Poconos. Trav.
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
Hey, listen, so I was loving the show on the way home, and I'll just give you a quick lottery missed lineup, and I'll get off the phone.
A lottery missed lineup. Look at that.
I'll do the whole lineup.
All right.
So, you know, taking Fultz that year when we traded up the one, it's romantic to say we're getting Tatum, but we never were. So,
no, you weren't. No,
you weren't. But you could have stayed at 3 and took De'Aaron Fox. So there's my point guard.
Okay.
All right? And obviously, my man just said it before, no Okafor, Devin Booker. Now we got Fox at the 1, Booker at the 2. And they don't take
the only problem is Booker wasn't going top 3.
I know he wasn't, but I'm trying here. I'm trying here.
All right.
So, and I was a Kentucky guy. I didn't see that either. Devin Booker.
Can I take you back to that draft real fast?
Go ahead.
If you remember, they were supposed to because they had a lot of lottery protected things at that time because of what Sam Hinkie was working stuff. And at that point, if you remember, he had a lottery at the top 10 protected pick for the Miami Heat, and Miami did get number 10. Otherwise, the Sixers would have had 10. And at that time, because they didn't have a shooting guard, I wanted Devin Booker as that second pick, knowing that they would go elsewhere with the top 3. So if it wasn't top 10 protected and the Sixers were jumping in there at number 10, might have been a Sixer.
Okay, so either way, either scenario, I got Fox at 1, I got Booker at 2.
Yeah.
Don't take Simmons, you get Ingram at the 3. We never trade your cousin and play him at the 4, and then we got him beat at the 5. That lineup wins 2-3 championships minimum.
That's a versatile lineup right there. That's a versatile lineup right there. That's a good one. That is really a good one, man. Fox, Booker, Ingram, McHale, and Joel Embiid at the 5. Pretty darn good.
Have a great night, buddy.
You too, man. Thank you. That's pretty good. It's not bad.
The only concern, literally the only concern that I would have with that hypothetical team is its size.
Doesn't even matter.
I mean, they're long,
but that's not tall. Ingram is 6'9".
That's what I mean. He's going to end up having to play. He'd have to play the 4.
That's okay. That's all right. I mean, because you have so many versatile defenders with McHale and him and then Booker.
Oh, they would be able to switch literally everything.
You'd be more than fine. You'd be more than fine. And Fox is a defender as well. And then you got the big fella cleaning up the mess behind you. Good stuff. Good stuff. Rich, hang on, man, because we want to give you all your time. So hang tight. 610-632-0975. Spider's there, Bob. And 3 open phone lines for the first time. Good time for us to also get in on the Eagles schedule since we haven't had a chance to talk about that a bit. And a little Bryce Harper talk as well. 610-632-0975.
97.5 The Fanatic.
McHale. It's the 9 o'clock hour. 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Devon Givens. Tyler Zuli is over there hanging out. 9:45. He will have the leftovers as we talk about some leftover Sixer conversation that, quite frankly, is not really leftover because since 2013, they really have been a big part of the summer. Right? They've been a huge part of the summer. So this is really nothing new. They're going to dominate the summer once again. Philly's going to have their part. Sixers are going to have a big part of the summer. And the Eagles getting ready for that. That's natural. You just discussed the Philadelphia Eagles as we get ready for the 2022 football season. By the way, Stacy says, Love doesn't give you the same minutes as Harris, though, right? So it's a no for me. No, Tobias Harris's average is close to 37 minutes a night. And Kevin Love, 22. So unless you're doing the 22 for him and the other 22 for someone else, or 26 for someone else at that same position, then, you know, that's a no. That's a no. They're going to dominate the summer again.
I don't, quite frankly, I don't even think that that's not a yes for me, even if you said Kevin Love is healthy and fully good to go and he's going to play 35 minutes.
No, but think about when teams have a starter, let's say a fifth starter, but he's only the fifth starter because they need to run somebody out because he fits best starting.
Right.
But coming off the bench, Tyler Hero.
Okay.
You start Gabe Vincent, but in the end, Max Strus is out there with Tyler Hero. That's their closing lineup with Butler, Adebayo, and Tucker. But Tyler Hero is Tyler Hero, so he's going to get 30 minutes off the bench. So if the starter is the starter, Gabe Vincent, because he does what he does early in the game, but your closing lineup is just that, then what? Then what for Kevin Love? If you have a better four option to close the game. Like it's not going to be Niang, but I'm just saying somebody else that's brought in.
Right, so that's my next question is where does that somebody else come
from? Well, again, we don't know that right now. We're just speaking hypothetical here right now. And I know you don't like the hypotheticals.
Well, no, it's not that I don't necessarily... Well, you're right, I don't. But in this particular instance, every conversation that we're having depreciates the value, and I know that we're talking about positionless basketball, but it depreciates the value of what the four position has been for the Sixers with Tobias Harris. And I'm not sitting here saying that Tobias Harris is perfect. He has not been perfect this season. There were times, especially when he was battling back from COVID, that he struggled, and you know, and mightily so at points. But I think that you're elevating a position, namely like the two or the three, depending on, well, probably more the three. You're elevating a position while devaluing a position somewhere else. You're not getting better. You're just flip-flopping what works and what's not.
Fair. But we have no idea what they're going to do.
Couldn't tell you.
All this stuff.
Could not tell you.
Might be a little bit of a preview of what we might be doing tomorrow. As part of the Sixers conversation, because it's not going away, folks. People might say, why aren't you talking Eagles? What about the Phillies, Flyers, Union? Well, the Sixers still are very, very hot and important right now, even though they are out of it because of all the questions that we talk about, the things that we discussed yesterday, the things that we started off with James Harden this evening, and we'll get to it a little bit again tomorrow. Let's go back to the phones, get everybody in here, and we'll talk about the Birds and their schedule. We keep putting that off, but we need to get to it. Rich and Yardley with us here. Rich.
Devon, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Ah, dude, I'm all right. last time I talked to you was right before Game 5, when I was the one concerned about the Heat getting hot.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, so my next question to you is, when do we let Maxey become our second star?
I guess it's based on, number one, his simple growth. And then number two, what else is done in the offseason. So I think it's just a combination of things. He's already growing. We know that.
Absolutely. He's growing, but he's growing.
What's his ceiling? What's his ceiling?
He's growing with two other people that require the ball. And I'm not saying Embiid more the less. Like, Embiid's going to have his possessions. But with Harden, and I'm the biggest James Harden fan. I sit here and I yell at the screen all the time, just give the ball to James. But, like, at what point, and especially now with what happened during this playoffs, at what point do we accept him to be our second star, and we move on from Harris, and we just get a bunch of role players?
That is part of the conversation right now of what they may have to do. If Harris might be that person, Harden's still here. Harden will technically be your number two, but maybe Maxey. Here's the thing: maybe Maxey averages more points, but James Harden is still going to give you 20-10. And still technically be your second best player, even though Maxey is averaging 23.
I understand that, but like what I'm saying is, when does he become like? And I know that we need to see him progress, but like, isn't this the time he should progress into that alternate score? And shouldn't we be able to use Tobias Harris as a piece to fill in the roster around Harden, Maxey, and Embiid?
Sure, sure.
You know what I'm saying? So like, my question to you is, when does Maxey take that step? Like, what generates, or generate is the wrong word, but what allows for him to take that step from Tyrese Maxey to, you know, Devin Booker? Like, what is stopping him from doing that?
I would say a couple of more seasons of experience and just the right complement of people around.
But so then, with that being said, wouldn't it make the most sense to buy into the kid? Because honestly, right now, I don't see any other way other than buy into the kid and let him take us with Embiid and use Tobias Harris as a trading piece to fill out our roster.
It might be that this offseason. Might be.
I hope so, because Tobias Harris is underutilized in our offense, and I understand that people hate Tobias Harris and they hate the way he, or not hate, hate's a strong word, but they disagree with the way he plays. But Tobias Harris is a guy catches on the wing and get your points. And James Harden is a give me the ball and I'll go get my points. And if James Harden is going to play the facilitator role, we don't need Tobias Harris. We don't need a catch and shoot guy. We need an explosive player like Maxey, because they're going to get their points. And then after they get their points, we need to be up. We need to be tough.
Yeah. And that's one other thing that Maxey's going to have to improve on, is just simply also being better as a defender as well, with that growth that we're talking about too.
Absolutely. Defense is a huge part, but there's teams that work around that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But they've missed on so many things that now we're again critiquing all of that because they have missed on so many of those other things. Give us a name for you during the rebuild that, wow, Sixers miss.
There's tons of them.
That's why we're doing only during the rebuild era.
All right. I'll go with Porzingis.
Okay. Okafor and Porzingis.
Okafor over Porzingis was a kill shot.
I still wonder if he would have even reported here just because of all the stuff with his agent and not letting Sam Hinkie talk to him. But you're right.
Listen. Basketball run, you can't worry about that kind of stuff, dude. We drafted a guy, you got to come play for us. I mean, if he's going to be that big of a headshot and not play, then you know what? Like, then we lost. But
well,
at least Rich,
Orlando is still waiting. Orlando is still waiting. Rich, thanks for the call to team up Dwight Howard with Franz Vasquez from 2004 or 2006, whatever it was.
You're not obligated to come over.
No.
You know, to wherever you're...
Look how long it took Dario Šarić to come over.
Yeah, you're not obligated to play anywhere.
Yeah, now a lot of that
stuff. And a lot of times, too, it's contracts.
Contractual work with your club team. Yeah.
They're not just going to let you go.
Nah.
Sometimes you get lucky.
Did I get his name right? I know it was Vasquez. Did I get his name right?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, I got to look that up. You know, I can't be wrong about that.
Devon, I was 11.
That doesn't matter.
Couldn't tell you.
That doesn't matter. Maxey, that will be up to him and when he takes those next steps. And again, surrounding with the other people. So, I don't know. Let me see if his name comes up here. I remember that. He messed them up. They had him. He was going to be the number. Yeah, Fran Vasquez. He was going to be the four. He announced his retirement in 2020. He's 39 now. He was the number 11 pick in 2005. And man, we thought he was going to be the power forward next to Dwight Howard, 6'10", do his thing. Well, they get the number one pick here, and tonight, Fran Vasquez, he retired. Good for him. He screwed them. And they did all right because they had Rashard Lewis. They pivoted very well. Rashard Lewis, Hedo Turkoglu, along with Dwight, Jameer, drafting J.J. Redick later on. They did all right. But man, did he screw them. Fran Vasquez. All right, back to the phone. Spider in South Philly. Yo, what's up, Spider?
I'm good, man. How y'all feeling?
Okay.
All right. Man, listen. I don't think we're going to be doing much in the near future, man, just because I don't see basketball, high basketball IQ on our team. I don't know who we need to get, who we going to get. That's for management to figure out. Hopefully they do a good job of making something happen, because right now I have very little to no faith at all. I was hyped when we got Harden because I thought he was going to be something. Then he had the same injury last year that he's supposed to take care of and come healthy now. Wasn't the hamstring bothering him last year?
Yes. But the question always was, did he have enough time to really heal up?
I think if he was taking care of himself and doing the right things, maybe. I don't know. So we're going to see what's going to be the issue this season. Because he's going to opt in for that money. He got to come back for lower bread, too. That's too much money for him to be getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to see some. All right. So, the guy before me, yo, great points, my man. Tobias. Bro, remember game one of the Miami series, man? How he came out like, I'm the man? Then every game after that, it was like, all right, I think I belong here. Like, he wasn't as aggressive. And you've mentioned him a few times. He need to be more aggressive. I think he need to come off the bench, to be perfectly honest. Because I think when he in the game with Embiid, Maxey, and Harden, he over there looking like a fourth wheel. I mean, he deferred too much. And that's another thing with Maxey. He kept deferring too much to Harden. I don't want Harden to stunt his growth. Even though Maxey got off a couple of shots, like 20, I believe, but like 7 foot, like 16 or 17. I don't know. I forgot. He got off some shots, but it was more times in their games where though he could have taken over and got us scoring. Like he just would give the ball to Harden at the top of the key, then some dumb stuff would happen. And just it's too many times it was looking like in games 5 and 6, man, they was out there looking like they wasn't even a whole team. Like they just had an argument or something right before the game. I mean, at halftime, and they just come out looking like they didn't even like each other or something. Man, they just couldn't get it going. It was no cohesiveness. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any intelligent basketball. So hopefully, I mean, these guys can come back, raise their IQ, and get some guys with higher IQ, because they've been relying on talent. And be talented, very talented. Harden used to be very talented. You need to realize now, you ain't getting them foul calls no more, my man. All that bumping into people, creating contact, is over with. So,
all right.
Smarten your game up, man.
All right, you got to give us one of the biggest misses of the rebuild in the lottery.
Oh, man. It's too many of them. Mm. Me, personally, I would have tried to steal Tatum.
You just would have ruined the relationships and taken Tatum.
Yeah. Listen, Devon, quick question before you even come here. Would there have been any type of, like, real repercussions if they would have did that, took Tatum?
No, it's just a reputation thing. The NBA is nothing that the NBA would have done. It's just more of a reputation thing of your relationships around the NBA.
I would have snagged a primetime player. I don't care about none of that. Because I don't know. Markelle Fultz wasn't on my number one radar for real. He would have been my guy.
Ah, you got it, man. Appreciate it. All right, Spider. Thanks, man. Taking Jason Tatum instead of Markelle Fultz and ruin the relationships around the NBA. Hey, listen, it's probably done before where you just like, you know what? They already don't like me, so forget about it. Forget about it.
Listen, it has nothing to do with the Celtics at that point. Because if the Celtics don't like you, so be it. It's one team. And I know that you can't do that forever because if you one team it through the course of your history, you're going to have no trade partners left. In that particular instance, you're not worried about messing up your relationships with the Celtics. You're worried about messing up the relationship with the 28 other teams. Because everybody else is going to go, You see what just happened there? You saw that, right? Cross them off the list. They call, don't pick up. Send it to voicemail. You're good. We're not talking to these guys anymore. At some point, that's going to happen.
But I also don't know what that would have meant for agents as well. Just
that too.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Let's go back to the phones. Bob in Pemberton with us. Bob, how you doing?
I'm all right. Some of the names you guys were talking about earlier, DiVincenzo, he didn't play last year. Milwaukee won the championship. They didn't even notice he wasn't on the team. He's not good. Just because he played for Villanova, fellas, everybody, that don't mean he can play. He's an average player. You have to give him too much money for what he does.
Colin Sexton, so if he can't play and he's not that good, why would he get a lot of money?
Because obviously there's a lot of overpaid guys in the NBA. Come on, there's a whole lot of them. Somebody's going to look at him like he can play, but you saw with Sacramento, he did nothing. They didn't win any games because he was on the team. He's not an impact player. He doesn't make a difference.
Sacramento is Sacramento. Who, regardless who's there, they lose. I don't think it had a lot to do with Dante.
He wasn't there with Milwaukee. They won the championship. They didn't even miss him.
He got hurt.
They didn't miss him at all.
He got
hurt. I know, but they didn't.
He was the starter before that, so he contributed to what they did. He got hurt, and they did some other stuff. They made some moves. They made trades, and they did the right decision-making around his injury.
So you add him to the Sixers. They're a championship team now?
I didn't say that. I don't know what else is happening with the basketball team to say that if you add him, they're a championship team. I didn't think they were a championship team with James Harden.
Well, the other guy, Colin Sexton, Cleveland's one of the favorites. We watch them all the time on but when Colin Sexton left, they got better. Because Garland is way better than him. And Colin, they gave him the keys. Colin Sexton, another dude, yes, he can score on a bad team. He ain't going to help you win.
I said that. I said all we've seen so far is we know he can score, but we saw him score on a bad team. What does that mean with a good team? We know he can score. How does it translate? I don't know. But that's all I said with that.
Now, the only guys I looked on the list, the only guys I would look at is I would look at T.J. Warren only because he's been hurt and I can get him for cheap. I ain't paying him a lot of money. And he had a couple good years. I know he ain't played in 2 years, but these are the type of guys I might look at the line right. These are the type of dudes you can get and you don't have to pay a lot. Most of them guys on that list, even DeAndre Ayton, I wouldn't pay him. You know, he is so average. This dude, Chris Paul gives him like 10 points a game. And you saw what he did against Dallas. That dude getting a max contract, that is going to be one of the worst contracts. The dude is
I don't think, as a Suns fan, I don't want him to give him a max contract.
But there's too many guys in the NBA like Ayton. Where if you're going to get him, yeah, I got to pay him a lot of money. But the joke is, these guys aren't good enough to get paid the money they're paying.
All right, so while we're working around the edges, you say TJ Warren, you'll do that. I'm not mad at that if you give up a little bit of money for him, especially coming off the injury. He has to show himself again, but we know he can score. That's that. What else are you doing? Are you making any other moves? Are you trading Tobias Harris? What are you doing?
I'm keeping the bias. I don't know. You got to find like I'm looking at Dallas, man. They took Bullock from the Knicks.
But we talked about him in the offseason that was a target, and he decided to play with Luka.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad choice.
And I'm just looking at like a dude like Finney Smith, man. That dude.
Yeah.
You know, he's an average dude. He ball on their team. You put him on another team, he probably ain't doing nothing. But you got to find a guy like that. Who that guy is, I don't know. But the guy, even the guy for the. For the Celtics, just shot on them threes. Grant Williams. He's sitting on the bench. Seriously, he's on another team sitting on the bench. He's not like he's good. But for their team, he's good. You need to find some guys like that.
Well, basically what it's all coming down to, Bob, is their culture is better than the Sixers' culture.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Because all these other role players that are having success elsewhere, you're saying if they are on this team, it won't happen because of their culture.
Grant Williams would be a bum. Everybody be booing him. He stinks. He's too fat. That's what the Sixers fan. He stinks. He's too heavy. He's on Boston. He plays ball.
He would be George Niang, basically, is what you're saying.
Yes. So, I mean, like I said, I don't know who. Like, I gave you a couple names, but I definitely am not paying a lot of these dudes a lot of money.
I don't want to pay a lot of guys a lot of money, but at the end, that's their money. It's their problem. They got to fix it and figure it out. Give us, Bob, Since I know you know this stuff, so give us one of the names that was the biggest miss during the rebuild.
I mean,
in the draft, lottery.
It's Markel Fultz, but I can't lie. I never seen the dude play, so I didn't know.
That's fine. But for the exercise,
I knew Tate was better than him. I didn't know the boy could play or not. I never seen him play.
Oh, you didn't watch him at Duke?
He's the biggest miss. You took him in number one. He's the biggest miss because he gave you nothing. He gave you absolutely nothing. As the number one pick. So to me, that's the biggest miss. But I'm not lying. All these other people, like, I knew Tate. Who saw Markel Fultz play? I'd like to know. I never saw him play.
Well, I mean, I did because I would stay up late and watch those and all that stuff. But that's just me. I can't answer for everybody else. That's just me. I watched Tatum. If you remember Tatum, he didn't play until late December because he had an injury. So he didn't even play. And when he came back, his first game was at the Madison Square Garden in one of those ACC, whatever matchups that they had. And he was lighting them up in his first game back.
I mean, I seen Tatum, but I ain't think he'd be that good. I'm not lying like these other people.
No, I know you're not. I know. Hey.
All these other, like, I knew Tatum. No, you didn't.
Bob, you're the best, man. I'll talk to you later, man. We got a lot to talk about this offseason. Love talking to Bob because Bob just calls it straight. Just say it like it is. And especially when he's like, I didn't see him. Stop lying. You didn't see him either. Love Bob. All right, Mark and D, close things out. We'll finally talk about the Eagles schedule. D wants to talk about the Eagles as well. We'll get to that. When is Bradbury coming to town, Tyler? What's happening? What's taking so long?
Hopefully soon.
Where's Kevin King? What's going on?
I'll take Kevin King,
I need
too.
Something. Final segment, 9:45 Leftovers, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Final segment, 97.5 The Fanatic, Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli, Leftovers at 9:45. We thank you for hanging out with us tonight, breaking down 76ers in a different way again this evening, and I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more tomorrow as we follow the Mike Misnelli Show beginning at 6 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So, we'll get back at it with you tomorrow. Continuing with something, of course, that'll have us discussing the 76ers because it just will not go away. It won't. It can't. We love it too much. Stacy says, I was looking at TJ too, as far as TJ Warren, so that's a good name for Stacy as well. TJ Flannery, 24, Furcon Nation, he says, the Porzingis for Dinwiddie and Bertans should have been done with Tobias instead of Porzingis. So Dinwiddie here as another shot creator, which I don't mind, but you don't have the defensive versatility with Finney Smith, Maxi Kleber playing better. Where would he be coming off the bench, starting? What is he doing, TJ, as he fits in there? Mark, 22 Mark P, tells Tyler and I, Tyler, Houston will never win a lottery due to karma. Tank 2 years in a row to get Samson. Not great pro, but absolute can't miss at the time. Then Akeem. NBA had enough and instituted lottery next year. That's from Mark from Conshohocken, who's coming up right now, joining us here on the show. What's up, Mark?
Hey, that was timely.
Yes, it was.
So before I get to my points, I just wanted to say now that the season's over, you know, I talked with you a couple months back. We were talking about Ben, and I mentioned how I have struggles with depression and anxiety, and I wanted to let you guys know that the last 6 months have been an absolute pleasure and it really an escape for me, and I really appreciate it's very clear how hard you guys work both to entertain and inform, and eventually the Sixers talk is going to die down. I'm not a Phillies fan, so I'm going to miss it. But I just want to say I appreciate the work
you
guys do, and both of you, and also the people who sub in for you guys who are better than the Sixers bench.
Our bench is deeper, huh?
Yeah. So, all right, I was going to talk about two things. You just read three. That was the first thing. The Houston Rockets are the reason for the lottery because of what they did in 83 and 84. It was atrocious. And
about Ralph Sampson?
Yeah, I mean, Sampson wasn't all that great, although he did hit that shot to knock Magic and Kareem out of the conference finals. But and we know about Akeem, and he was a better prospect than Jordan at the time. But, yeah, they're the reason why. But then I realized after the fact my argument doesn't hold complete water because I remembered I think they did get the number one pick to take Yao Ming a long time ago.
Yeah.
But karma's still at play. The other thing I want to talk about is Harden. I called you guys sometime probably end of March, maybe beginning of April, to let you know that I'd seen enough of Harden to know I'm not signing him to a long-term deal. I feel the same way. I trade stocks, and the most painful lesson you ever learn trading stocks is when you make a bad trade, you have to cut your losses so you don't turn a bad trade into a disastrous trade. And basketball's the same. And I just think, I know a lot of people feel like, well, we gave up all our tradable assets for him. That's true, but don't make a bad trade worse. Let him opt in on the player option, and then if somehow he can turn around and it turned out to be his hamstring, then we'll talk, but I'm not signing him to a long-term deal.
Yeah, I'm going with the player option. He picks it up. I'm okay with that. I can do nothing about it, but I'm with you until I see anything different. And even with that, seeing something different doesn't mean that once he gets that contract and after 1 year he decides, I'm just going to, kind of take it easy.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not in agreement with Patrick Beverley, who thinks he deserves a super duper max. But
not even close.
He can still play a facilitator point guard role, but that's not a super max contract. He's not Chris Paul, and I don't think his body's going to be in as good a shape as Chris Paul was at 37, and I just don't want to be paying him that money at that age.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Your lottery.
So I wasn't feeling so well, so I wasn't watching things as closely, so I'm a little bit like Bob, where this is complete hindsight. But on paper, I have to go with Tatum because I know how much I would love him here. I don't really remember the intricacies and the sensitivities around what handshake deals were made, so maybe another time you guys can share with me what exactly happened for tonight if you have time. But
yeah, we can do that.
It would be Tatum.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, man. Mark, always great to hear from you. We will continue our Sixers conversation, so don't disappear. Don't worry about it.
All right.
You got it, man. Guys. Thank you, man. Just quickly, when they made the deal 3-1 to acquire Markelle Fultz, the debate was what the debate was. But once you make that deal, Mark, it's basically even though you do it over the phone and all that stuff, it's a handshake agreement of, I'm trading this pick because you are taking player X. We know Los Angeles is going to take Lonzo Ball. We want Jason Tatum. That's where he's going to fall, and that's what we're taking. As a result, Boston got the better player and an extra pick, first round pick, that they acquired in that deal. So the agreement is just simply, you don't go off of your word, and you do what we agreed upon. That's it. With Danny Ainge and Brian Colangelo, Mark.
And like we said, there was no like legality. There was no clause in the trade that said you have to take Markelle Fultz. They could have gone back on their word and said, hey, by the way, bleep you guys. Yeah. We're taking Tatum after
taking
all. This is my villain origin story. Like you could have theoretically could have done that. But like you said earlier, you would not just break the trust of the Celtics, which in the grand scheme of one team is not, the end of the world, but you'd probably also break the trust of a lot of other teams and agents when it came to free agency and things like that.
Yeah, and it's kind of like that. What do you say with sports in general? Unwritten rules?
Yeah, and I don't like them, but in this particular instance, they exist.
Right, yeah, they exist. for this very reason. So, Ty, we got to get to the Eagles and the schedule. Just looking over it, we'll go through the games, but we don't have to do win-loss. I'm sure you've looked at it. You talked about it this weekend. So same here. I have not talked about it, but I have looked at it. So starting off week one against the Detroit Lions in Detroit. All right, I'm going to put that one as a win just to say that right out of the gate. Then you're home for Minnesota, away for Washington, home Jacksonville, the return of Doug Peterson, away Arizona, the Cardinals. I got to think about that one. Home for Dallas, bye week in 7. Get it early. Get the early bye week. 6-0. I know. Home for Pittsburgh after the bye week at Houston. Home Washington week 10. So you get them out of the way in 10 weeks. Then you have, by the way, you still haven't played the Giants yet. Then you have, as they have played Washington and Dallas, you haven't played the Giants yet, but then you have the Colts. So you see right away, Carson Wentz, you get him in here, and you get him in early. Well, late, pardon me, after the bye week. Then you have Indianapolis in Indy, home Green Bay, home Titans, A.J. Brown getting to play against his former squad, Giants rounding out at week 14, Chicago and Dallas all on the road. So 3 on the road for the Birds. And this always stinks because they never get 3 at home. Very rarely do you look at them and say they get 3 at home, but they get 3 on the road. They get 2 back-to-back with Green Bay and Tennessee in weeks 12 and 13. And then to close out the year, Saints, Giants back-to-back. So they do have that. I look at them as, Tyler, I said this last night when we were talking about this just briefly, not looking at the schedule, not giving a prediction. I have them with more wins than they did last year when we predicted. I predicted 8. You predicted 7. They wound up making the playoffs. They did what they did. Fantastic. But until they get a corner and a safety, I'm only giving them one more win. Even with as good as A.J. Brown is, the offense, Jalen Hurts, year number 2, he's better. I'm only going one more win right now.
Do you mean
9.
In terms of your prediction? Or,
yes.
Okay.
So I'm only going 9 right now. So 9-8 through 17, and you know they're 18 weeks still on the schedule. I'm only going 9-8 right now until I see that the corner and the secondary position are upgraded, which I think they'll address. But it wouldn't surprise me if Marcus Epps is your starting safety, but they need a corner.
Yeah, I think that you're probably correct. I would imagine that Epps is probably going to be the opposite. It'll be Epps and
Harris.
And Harris, and then,
which Kayvon, I don't
and then
like.
Kayvon Wallace will be your first guy off the bench. But you're right, you need to address at least one of the two. And I think that I feel more comfortable with Epps and Harris. Not, I don't love it, but I feel more comfortable with Epps and Harris than I do with, obviously you've got Slay, that's not a problem, and then McPherson or Gowan or whomever the case may be, because we've learned that Maddox is most comfortable in the slot. You're not going to move him back to the outside.
It wouldn't make any sense.
In terms of the schedule, Tom and I talked about this a lot on Sunday night. I think that, and obviously every team wants to get off to a hot start, but the first 4 games of this season are going to be extremely paramount to the success or failure of this team. I do believe, even with their limitations, I think that they are good enough talent-wise to have a legitimate chance to start this season 4-0. And if they can do that, it's going to go a long way to the success of the season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, start the season hot, you can ride that wave, things happen. Start the season cold, it's often very difficult, let's say you start 1-3, to make a playoff push at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I think between the fact that you have 3 teams in the mix of your first 4 games, that I believe that you are quantifiably better than. I believe that you are substantially better than Jacksonville. I believe you are substantially better than Detroit. And I believe you are at least a small bit, if not much bigger. I think it's probably much bigger, but even to play on the safe side, at least a little bit better than the Washington Commanders. That leaves the Minnesota Vikings at home. If you can find a way to start the year.
Still a decent team.
A good football team.
Yeah.
Or a decent football team, but I think you could be better than them in theory, too.
I do, too.
With that being said, if you could start the year 3-1 or 4-0 compared to having a rough start, maybe you get out of the gate a little bit slow and you're 2-2, that's going to dictate the rest of your season. So I think the first four games are going to be extremely paramount to a 17-game schedule.
All right. I have them one win more. What did you have them right now without that?
Honestly, I haven't made a prediction yet. I don't think I'm going to, just because I want to see how this plays out. But
I don't see you having them at 7 like you did a season ago.
No, I mean, if it's exactly where it is as of right now,
you can change it.
The cornerback position would scare me. As of right now, I think they can win 10.
As of right now?
Yes.
Okay. I have them at 9, but still waiting, where the cornerback position might mean two more wins for me. You know what I'm saying?
I think it can mean at least one more. I think that this team right now, with the talent that they have and then the fact that there's a lot of youth that needs to be infused somehow, this team probably maxes out at 11.
They can win the division.
I believe that they can. I do not believe that they will, but I think that they can.
Just simply right now, May.
Correct.
They can win the division.
And I think that they will sit somewhere firmly between 9 and 11 wins. And if it's 11, you can win the division with 11. If it's 9 or 10, you're probably a wild card team. If it's 10, you're a wild card team. If it's 9, we'll see. Because you were last year, but in some years you may not be.
Had Teron on, and Teron Davenport for the people. Davenport had Teron on. Covers the Titans. We were talking about A.J. Brown. But when we signed off, letting him go and finish the rest of his evening, he said, right now I have the Eagles winning the NFC East. And that was April. That was 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago, right around the draft. And that's what he thought.
It's funny that he said that. I've heard a lot of other people say that. We talked about Dan Patrick was saying that he thinks the Eagles could be the... He asked the question to Ross Tucker.
When?
About a week ago.
This week? Oh, wow.
Earlier last week, something like that. And he said to Ross Tucker, who do you think could be the Bengals-like team? And meaning that who can make a big jump? Dan Patrick retorted with, after Tucker answered the question, that he believes it could be the Eagles. I think that there are more people outside of Philadelphia, and this might be the second time in the last, I don't know, 3 years that I've made this statement. There are more people with, you know, voices to make these statements that we hear that believe the Eagles are going to be better than what they were last year outside of the city than inside the city.
Wow.
And I don't mean that to say that people inside the city think they're going to win 6 games. But I think there's a lot of tempered expectations for the team. And, you know, people say 9, 10 wins. For a lot of people outside of the city, give them a cap of maybe 12. I don't know where they're going to be.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right, man. It's that time. We haven't done this in a while because we haven't been together since last week. Let's get to it. You know what time it is. Leftovers.
Yeah. Let's start with a report from Shams about Shams. 3 hours ago. Says that the NBA is a short story, but we'll have a chance to expound upon it. Yeah. The NBA is discussing a new in-season tournament that could begin as soon as the 2023-2024 season. Now, Shams says, quote, with the play-in tournaments here to stay, given its success, concepts are beginning to ramp up on another competitive event, which may include a mid-season tournament, much like you see in college basketball and much like you see in the G League.
I just, why can't we just leave stuff alone? Leave it alone. So an in-season tournament? To do what exactly?
I don't know. I guess announce the mid-season winner. It doesn't make any sense to me. There's no point to it. You're just playing more games.
It's like the G League. The G League has the in-season tournament.
It's exactly what it's like.
Oh, come on, man. I don't want that.
Because here's the thing.
I mean, I know there's stuff playing for stuff, and it's the middle of the season. Sometimes you can drag along, but nobody's going to care because it's about the NBA Finals.
Correct. Who won the G League midseason tournament?
Sixers?
The Bluecoats.
Yeah.
Do you know who didn't win the G League Finals?
The Bluecoats.
Right. Now, granted, they went to the finals,
yes,
but they didn't win. And to me, it's great, and it's all well and good that the Bluecoats won the December tournament, but the grander prize is the league championship, and they did not win that. And like you said, if I'm rooting for the Sixers, I wouldn't want anybody playing. I'd be bringing all the G League guys up. Here's a 10-day contract. Go play in the tournament.
I don't care about that. I don't want that. All right, go ahead.
All right, let's move on to baseball. We do have a serious topic to get to. As right-hander Matt Harvey has been suspended 60 games for distributing quote, drug of abuse under Major League Baseball's drug program. Now, we know the story behind this. He said in the in court back in February that he provided oxycodone to the late Los Angeles Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs, who died a few years ago. And this was during the federal court case of Eric Kay, who was then eventually convicted of two felony counts of distributing the drug fentanyl that ultimately led to Skaggs' death. So on top of the legal issues that have mounted in this story, Matt Harvey's been suspended by the league for 60 games.
Wow, that's crazy. I don't have much to add to that because, to your point, it's so serious, but that's tough, man. That's tough.
Obviously, I didn't get a chance to hear you guys yesterday. Did you guys get a chance to talk about Jair Alexander's contract extension?
No.
All right. So, Jair Alexander, of course, the all-pro corner from the Green Bay Packers, has signed a contract extension worth 4 years and or 4 years worth $84 million. His new deal will average $21 million per season. Both of these numbers, including the $30 million signing bonus, are record-breaking numbers for the cornerback position. He will become the highest paid per year corner, taking that spot from Denzel Ward, who took that spot by just less than $300,000 from Jalen Ramsey. So those are now your top three highest paid cornerbacks per APY. Obviously, the number 18 overall pick in 2018 has been really, really good for the Green Bay Packers. He made the all-rookie team in 2018, was a Pro Bowl alternate in 2019, and made his first Pro Bowl in 2020.
He is a very, very, very good player. Must be nice to have a young corner like that to develop over the course of the years. Love Darius Slay. They need another young body to go opposite him. So good for him, and nice work by Green Bay getting that done.
Now, I know we've talked about this story before. I am absolutely heartbroken with this next story. I feel terrible, especially after the article that he published in the Players Tribune recently. And this is former Chicago Bears running back Tariq Cohen, who is now a free agent, has been working out trying to find his next team and
make his return.
Yeah, make his return after an injury-riddled season last year that saw him only play three games before tearing a knee ligament. Well, he live-streamed one of his workout sessions today on Instagram, and all those who were watching had the unfortunate viewing incident,
if you will.
I refuse to watch it.
Yeah,
I will not watch it.
Wow.
He was on the Instagram Live, and he hit the floor during a back pedal drill, went to grab the back of his leg. Many are fearing that it's another ligament injury after, of course, he had that big one last season.
That's a shame. Yeah, I read that story. You sent it to me. That was tough.
That was really, really difficult
to read. So sad to read that.
Feel terrible for the guy.
Especially when we were watching from afar when he was released and all that stuff. He wasn't playing up to what we had seen early on from Tariq Cohen. You never know what's happening. Never. Never know what's happening.
If you've not read that story in the Players Tribune, it is difficult to read. It is very gut-wrenching. It is very, very sad to see what he's gone through, but I urge you to read it because, like you said, Devon, you don't know what people are going through in their everyday life.
Ty, this is a professional player who was an all-pro at his skill, and we're like, oh, he's good. He's making his money now. He gets the extension,
yep.
All that stuff, not knowing that he didn't have money to really send back to his family
yep.
because he didn't want to do everything. He wanted them to learn, trying to help mom, his brothers, read the story. It's really crazy. That's sad, man.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yep.
He's got the guarantee from the signing bonus, but if you read that story, the money doesn't take away everything. I mean, it doesn't make up for everything.
Yep. And that is what we have for our leftovers for Tuesday night.
Oh, man. That is tough. That is tough. Well, we thank everybody for listening tonight. We really appreciate your support. As always, we will be back, both Tyler and I, tomorrow, beginning at 6 o'clock following the Mike Missanelli Show. They are on the road tomorrow for the Big Brian Dawkins Golf Tournament. Everybody's going to be there. B-West, Trey Thomas, B-Dawk, a bunch of names that are going to be there. So if you were able to get in, I hope you enjoy yourself. We really appreciate it. Ty, great job as always. Thank you so much. And we'll be back tomorrow talking about quite a few more things. I'm sure the Sixers will come up at some point. What are the Phillies doing real fast? They win? Lose?
No, they got shut out.
You got it. Good night. Embiid. Not a bad team. Not a bad team at all. We appreciate it. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.